morning. You are listening to WHFR Dearborn. And this is our special Valentine's Day special featuring shows I can almost promise you haven't heard anywhere else. Boys and girls, moms and dads. Stuff that maybe our great-grandparents listened to. Maybe our grandparents, if we are of a certain age. It's also Jack Benny's birthday, or at least it was on Friday. So we're going to kick it off in just a moment with The Great Gildersleeve, one of the later shows. The Great Gildersleeve gets invited to a Valentine's party by the mayor. So we'll hear that show from February 11, 1953. We also have on tap the time that Danny Kaye sent a Valentine to Jack Benny. And we have a couple of Jack Benny shows for good measure. We have My Favorite Husband, Lucille Ball, and the Valentine's Day show for that particular program. From 1950. And for extra good measure, Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden in the title role, of course. A show from 1950 and 1954 from the Our Miss Brooks series. Once again, this is Radio Vault. Our special Valentine's Day love show. In the background, the sounds of the Average White Band from 1976. But I think we're ready, at least I'm ready, for The Great Gildersleeve. Let's go once again back to February 11, 1953. The Great Gildersleeve, Willard Waterman in the title role, taking over after Harold Perry left. Let's listen.
The Kraft Foods Company presents Willard Waterman as The Great Gildersleeve. The Great Gildersleeve is brought to you, partially transcribed, by the Kraft Foods Company. Well, for a number of years now, the Great Gildersleeve has enjoyed his position as City Water Commissioner. It carries a certain dignity and wields a certain influence. All in all, it's a happy situation, and the Great Gildersleeve will go to great lengths to preserve it.
Hey, Unc, why did you want me down here at the office this afternoon?
Leroy, there's a lot to be done. The mayor said he'd be in before closing time, and we want to be on the ball.
I don't get it.
It looks good to have a relative working in the office who isn't on the payroll.
Gosh, I could be out playing basketball.
You can do this for your old uncle. The mayor likes to see a busy office.
What'll I do?
You can stuff the water bills in the envelopes and lick the stamps.
Before dinner?
Hey. Leroy, use a sponge.
Okay, right after I type a letter to our dog.
Yes, yes.
You know, Unc, we ought to name that dog. I'm writing him a letter and I don't even know who to send it to.
If you have anything to tell the dog, phone him. I wouldn't want the mayor to come in and catch you wasting water department stationery on a Great Dane.
Well, I'll just write one page. Dear dog.
Leroy, cut out the monkey shines.
This is dog shines.
Hey. Well, get that out of the typewriter. I don't want the mayor to see it.
Okay. Unc, why are you so afraid of the mayor?
I'm not afraid of him. I respect him. He's my boss.
And he can cut off your water, huh?
Hey. Young man, I'm the one who cuts off the water around here. I mind my business, and he minds his. Why, the mayor wouldn't dare to... Hello, Mr. Mayor.
Hello, Gildersleeve.
Mayor Twilliger, you know my nephew, Leroy?
Oh, yes. Hello, Leroy.
Hi.
Having fun playing with the city typewriter?
Yeah.
Leroy is just down here helping me, Mr. Mayor. A lot to do, you know.
Oh?
He's sending out statements to the customers.
Is this one here? Dear dog. Well, Gildersleeve, I knew the water department had a lot of new consumers, but I didn't know we had any dogs on the books.
I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor. Leroy was just writing a note to our Great Dane.
Oh. Gildersleeve, you've never been to my house, have you?
No, I haven't. I've driven past it, but I've never gotten inside.
Well, I'd like to have you come over next Saturday night.
Me?
I'm giving a Valentine's Day party to a very select group.
Oh.
Besides our friends, Mrs. Terwilliger and I always invite a city official.
Well.
This year, it's your turn.
Thank you, Your Honor.
You may bring somebody if you wish.
How about me, Unc?
Leroy, he means bring a girl. A lady. Don't you, Mr. Mayor?
Naturally.
Shall I dress?
Black tie.
Black tie? Is that all you're going to wear?
Leroy. Imagine being invited to the mayor's. By George, Gildersleeve, you're getting up in the world. You think I'll drop in and tell Petey about it. Hello, Petey.
Well, hello, Mr. Gildersleeve. What can I do for you today?
Petey, I just had a long talk with the mayor.
Called you on your carpet, did he?
Not at all. As a matter of fact, he wants the water commissioner to come to his home.
Something wrong with the plumbing?
Petey, stop it. He invited me to a Valentine party.
Valentine? My.
It's going to be quite an affair, Petey. A lot of important people will be there. And only one city official. Me.
You don't say.
The mayor says I can bring anybody I want. Of course, that presents a problem.
Nobody wants to go with you.
Anybody would jump at the opportunity to go. But I don't know whether to ask Grace Tuttle or Leela Ransom.
Well, that is quite a decision to make.
Peavy, whom would you take?
I'd take Mrs. Peavy. I'd have to.
Oh, my goodness. Put yourself in my shoes.
Very well.
Now, you've worked for the mayor for 11 years, and he's never invited you to one of his parties.
Stuffed shirt.
But at last he invites you. Who would you take?
I'd take a baseball bat and hit him right across the chest.
Peavy, I'm serious.
So am I, the stuck-up little potter pigeon.
Over. Will you lay off the mayor and help me with my problem?
Well, seriously, Mr. Gildersleeve, I'd find it difficult to choose between Mrs. Ransom and Miss Tuttle.
Yeah, they're both very attractive.
Yes, indeed.
They both dress well. They're both good dancers.
I'm sure they are.
Of course, Grace is more reserved.
Yes.
Well, Leela is more the sentimental and romantic type.
Yeah, I'm here to tell you.
You know how she comes in here, chucks you under the chin and says, "Hello, Mr. Peavy, you cute little old man, you."
Mr. Gildersleeve, if I were you, I'd say tut tut to Tuttle and run for ransom.
Hello, Leroy.
Hi, Unc.
That you, Miss Gildersleeve?
Yes, Bertie.
If I'd known you'd come home so soon, I'd have rolled out the red carpet.
What's this?
Leroy told me about you getting invited to the mayor's.
Well.
Yes, sir. The water commissioner's going to make a big splash.
Yeah. I guess I better phone and rent that same tuxedo I had New Year's Eve.
Yes, if it's a big party, you better phone before all the stylish stouts are gone.
Yeah, but first, I have to decide about my date. I'm weighing Miss Tuttle and Mrs. Ransom carefully.
How much do they weigh?
Leroy, I'm trying to decide which one I should take to the party.
Well, you can't go wrong with either one.
Yeah, that's true, Bertie. I think Leela might be a little more fun.
That Miss Ransom can sure liven up a party.
Yeah, she has a lot of spirit.
Remember the going-away party you gave her and she saved it by dancing to Charleston?
No, Bertie, I wouldn't say she saved it. She certainly made it interesting.
Yes, sir.
You know, Leela might be a little too lively for the mayor and his wife.
Well, I don't know. The mayor hires some pretty snazzy-looking secretaries.
That's business, Leroy. Well, it is. The mayor is strictly business. And looking at it from all angles, Miss Tuttle might be the one to take to the mayor's party. Hey, what do you think, Bertie?
Mr. Gildersleeve, you can't miss if you just shut your eyes and grab.
Well, this is no grab bag, Bertie. Yeah, I think I'll call Grace right now.
Yes, sir.
It won't hurt to take a level-headed girl. Show the mayor I have my feet on the ground. As far as Leela's concerned, she doesn't even have to know I'm going to the party.
Hello?
Grace, this is Throckmorton.
Oh, yes, Throckmorton.
I don't suppose anybody's asked you to a Valentine's party.
Just how do you mean that?
What I mean is, if you're not busy Saturday evening, are you?
Well, a long line is already forming in front of my door, but what do you have in mind? Perhaps I can move you up.
Well, the mayor has honored me with an invitation to his home, and I'd like to have you go with me.
That's wonderful, Throckmorton. I'd love to. You're very sweet to think of me.
Well, I've given it a lot of thought.
It's formal, I hope.
Yes, indeed. Very.
I'm just dying to wear an evening dress again.
Yeah, I like to wear them, too. Yeah, tuxedo, I mean. Let's say I pick you up around 7 Saturday.
I'll be ready. Oh, this is so exciting.
Yeah, glad you're looking forward to it. Goodbye, Grace.
Goodbye, Throckmorton.
You all set with Miss Tuttle, Unc?
Yep. Glad I called her. Being a schoolteacher, she'll fit right in with the Tony people the mayor will invite. She has dignity, poise, charm.
Yeah, and if the party starts dying, you can send for Mrs. Ransom to come to the Charleston.
Leroy. Right, George, I've got a lot of work to do today. Before I clear the desk, I think I'll see what's in the morning paper. Well, here's a big announcement of the mayor's party. Summerfield's elite anticipating Mayor Terwilliger's dinner dance. See, it's a pretty important shindig. Gets it right up before it happens. Yeah, let's see. They haven't listed the guests.
Throckmorton?
Uh-oh. It's Leela.
Throckmorton, are you in there?
Come in, Leela. I wonder if she read about the party and came down here for a reason.
Good morning, Throckmorton.
Hello, Leela. Aren't you out a little early this morning?
Well, I had some shopping to do.
Yeah, but the stores aren't open.
Well, I know you won't mind if I wait here until they are.
Oh, no. Delighted to see you. Sit down.
Thank you. I see you're reading the morning paper.
The paper?
I read it hours ago.
Oh.
I suppose you noticed the mayor's giving a party Saturday night.
Oh, he is?
Oh, it's right there under your nose. Summerfield's elite anticipating Mayor Terwilliger's dinner dance.
Well, well, well. So the mayor's giving a party. How about that?
You sound like it's news to you.
Well, that's why they print newspapers. News.
Throckmorton, aren't you invited?
It's a strange thing, Leela. I've never been to the mayor's house.
Are you going this time?
As long as I've worked for the mayor, I've never been in his house.
Are you invited?
11 years. I've never once been in his house.
Throckmorton, are you going to his party?
The mayor has a party every year, and I've never been there.
Throckmorton, did he invite you to the party Saturday night? Answer yes or no.
Well, Leela...
Oh, I shouldn't have asked you that. I'm sorry, Throckmorton. I should know if you're going to Mayor Terwilliger's party, you'd have asked me long ago. After all, it's a Valentine party. Throckmorton.
Now, Leela, perhaps you shouldn't sit on the arm of my chair. This is a business office.
Throckmorton.
Yes, Leela.
Am I your valentine?
Well.
Gildersleeve. Oh.
You're Mr. Mayor.
Yes, I hope I'm not interrupting the flow of business in the water department.
No, not at all. I was just chatting with a friend of mine. Oh. Well, glad you dropped in, Mrs. Ransom.
Why, Throckmorton, aren't you going to introduce me to His Honor?
Oh, yes, excuse me. Mayor Terwilliger, allow me to present Mrs. Leela Ransom.
How do you do, Mrs. Ransom?
Oh, Mr. Mayor, I'm delighted to meet you.
Thank you. Now, Gildersleeve, about these new water mains...
Well, I've seen your picture in the paper countless times.
Naturally. As I was about to say, Gildersleeve...
And now that I see you in person, your pictures don't do you justice. You look so young for a mayor.
You were speaking about the water mains, Mr. Mayor.
Gildersleeve, you're interrupting the lady.
Sorry.
Well, I'm the one who's interrupting your business, but I hope you don't mind a girl telling you how distinguished you look, Your Honor.
If you don't mind, permit me to say Commissioner Gildersleeve has a very charming friend.
Oh, Mr. Mayor.
Oh, brother.
Well, I really must be skipping along. I never did believe a woman should just drop into an office and take up a man's time, even if Throckmorton is my best beau.
So that's how it is, eh, Gildersleeve?
Well, I've known Leela for quite a while, Mr. Mayor.
Wonderful. I suppose we'll be seeing you at my party tomorrow night, Mrs. Ransom.
Why, Mr. Mayor, I'd be just tickled to death.
I'm not tickled, but I'm dead.
The Great Gildersleeve will return in just a moment. Well, it seems something always comes along to upset the Great Gildersleeve's apple cart. If something doesn't come along, he manages to upset it himself.
Unc, how did you happen to invite two girls to the same party?
Leroy, I didn't invite both of them. I invited Miss Tuttle. Didn't I, Bertie?
All I know is I saw Miss Ransom in the market and she said you was taking her.
Well, the mayor put me on the spot. The minute I introduced him to Leela, he assumed she was going to the party with me.
Why didn't you just tell the mayor you already had a date?
Leroy, it's not too easy to say you have another date in front of Leela.
She's counting big on going, all right.
Yeah.
She was telling me in the market what she's going to wear.
Oh?
Miss Ransom said she was wearing the same outfit that knocked them dead last year at the Mardi Gras.
Where's that?
Leroy, that's a big blowout in New Orleans every year.
Yeah?
What did she wear, Bertie?
Black lace over peach-colored satin.
Leroy.
Okay.
Yeah. Go on, Bertie.
That's it. Black lace over peach-colored satin and peeping over a black lace fan.
Well, Leela always did know how to dress.
When Miss Ransom glides in, I can see that party stop. She gonna knock them dead, peeping over that black lace fan.
Yeah, all right, Bertie.
Miss Gildersleeve, you know Miss Ransom gonna do at that party?
Yes, Bertie.
That's right, she gonna knock them dead, peeping over that black lace fan.
There must be some way out of this.
Why don't you get smart and get out of town?
Don't be silly.
I got a good excuse for you.
What is it?
Tell your girls our Great Dane is homesick and you have to take him back to Canada.
Don't be ridiculous. There's only one thing to do.
Yeah?
Just go over to Leela's and tell her the truth. Truth never hurt anybody.
Well, in case the girls don't know that, which hospital will you be in?
Leroy. Should have done this in the first place. I'll just explain to Leela that I had a date with Grace all along. What can she do? I wonder what she will do. Well, I still say the truth never hurt anybody. Nice quiet day.
Why, Throckmorton!
Hello, Leela.
I didn't expect to see you this afternoon.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about something. May I come in?
For a minute. You're just in time to take me to the beauty parlor.
So before you spend the money, let me tell you why I came over.
What's happened, Throckmorton?
Well, Leela... Leela, I can't take you to the mayor's party.
Would you mind repeating that?
Yes, I would. It was hard enough to say the first time.
Well, why this change of heart, I'd like to know?
There's no change of heart. It's just that I never did ask you to go to the party.
Why, Throckmorton?
When the mayor met you in the office, he just assumed I was bringing you. As a matter of fact, I had already made other plans.
Who is she?
Not that I wouldn't as soon take you, Leela. Or even rather.
Who is she?
Well, Leela, when I don't take you out, you know who I take out. Yeah, I mean...
Throckmorton, I think Grace Tuttle is a lovely girl.
Oh, I knew you'd understand.
Of course I do. But I wonder if His Honor, Mayor Terwilliger, will.
Mayor Terwilliger?
Your boss.
You will...
He's expecting you to bring me to his party.
Well, I know he suggested
and
it,
and if I were you, I'd consider that a command performance.
What?
What would the mayor say if he knew you were disobeying his orders and trying to push me out for some other girl?
Yeah, but Leela...
Oh, I'd hate to see you make a faux pas that might blight your entire career.
Oop. Leela, we're just wasting our time talking.
Oh?
Come on, let's get you to the beauty parlor. Well, there's only one thing left to do. Break the date with Grace. I'll just tell her the truth. I'll explain that the mayor invited Leela, and he's expecting me to bring her. I had nothing to do with it.
Throckmorton.
Hello, Grace.
What a surprise. Won't you come in?
Hey, thank you.
Let me take your hat.
No, thanks. I'll just hold it. Grace, I don't imagine the mayor's party means too much to you. You have your good books and all.
Well, I'm certainly looking forward to going.
Grace, I must be honest with you. I'm sorry, but I can't take you.
Oh?
I thought it best to come and put my cards on the table.
You don't have one up your sleeve, do you?
Grace, you know me better than that.
Go on, Throckmorton. You're dealing.
Well, it just happens that the mayor made arrangements for me to bring somebody else to his party. Yeah, I had nothing to do with it.
I understand how those things can happen. That's all right.
Yeah, at least you had the fun of planning to go.
Oh, it's just been ducky. Yeah.
I hope this hasn't put you out too much.
Oh, not at all. Of course, I've spent my next 6 months' salary for a party dress, but that's all right.
Yeah, well, maybe they'll take it back.
If they don't, and worst comes to worst, I can always eat it. Looks like ice cream anyway.
Hey. Grace, I'm sorry about this. I wouldn't have had it happen for the world.
Forget it, Throckmorton.
Oh, Grace, you're a brick.
I suspect I'm a little batty, too.
Well, goodbye.
Throckmorton?
Yes?
Forgive me for being a bit curious, but is the girl you're taking a relative of the mayor's?
A relative? Oh, no.
Just a friend of the family, I suppose.
Well, he just met her. Yeah, I mean...
Yes?
Oh, what the heck. You'll find it out anyway. It's Leela.
Oh, handsome Ransom again. Yeah.
She was in my office the other day when the mayor came in.
Does she make a practice of visiting your office?
You don't know. She just happened in and the mayor assumed I was taking her to the party.
Why?
Well, he thought she was my girlfriend.
Oh, this was after you asked me to go?
Well, yes.
Why didn't you lay your cards on their table?
Well...
Throckmorton, I'm going to trump your ace.
What?
You're taking me to that party.
Oh, well, in 30 minutes, I'm due at Leela's. The terrible thing is, I'm also due at Grace's. You know what a nightmare this night's going to be. Guess I'll stop in Peavy's for a cigar. And at the rate I'm smoking, I'd better make it a box.
Hello, Peavy.
Hello, Mr. Gildersleeve. What can I do for you this evening?
More cigars, Peavy.
Very well. You cut quite a figure in that tux.
Yeah.
Which young lady did you invite to the marriage party?
Both of them.
How's that?
I invited Grace, and then the mayor saw me with Leela and suggested I bring her. What could I do?
Well, it's a little late to talk about what you could have done. The point is, what are you going to do?
Peavy, this is the worst predicament I've ever been in.
You don't say.
I explained the situation to both girls, but neither one would let me off the hook.
A big fish like you should be able to get off the hook.
All right, Peavy. Give me a strong Coke.
Very well.
If I could just think of some good reason for not even showing up. Like an emergency in the water department. Hey, Peavy, do that again.
You want two Cokes?
No, turn on that carbonated water. I want to hear it fizzle.
Well, if it amuses you.
By George, that water gives me an idea.
You're going to jump in the reservoir?
No, I have a bold plan. I'm going to create an emergency right here in your drugstore.
Now, wait a minute, Mr. Gilbert.
Yeah, I'll turn on all the faucets behind your fountain, bang in the pipes with a hammer, and then get the mayor on the phone.
My, my.
He'll hear the water running, and I'll tell him I can't come to his party because I'm taking care of an emergency. Why, George, this is the best idea I ever had.
No, I wouldn't say that. What if your mayor finds out?
Stand aside, Peavy. I'll turn on the faucets and get on the phone.
Mr. Gildersleeve, you're making a mistake.
There. Doesn't that sound like a broken water main?
It sounds like trouble, all right.
Now I'll call the mayor. This will get me out of the dates, and the mayor will respect me for staying on the job. Hello? Is Mayor Twilliger there? He isn't? Oh, hello, Mrs. Twilliger. This is Water Commissioner Gildersleeve.
Mr. Gildersleeve.
If Mrs. Twilliger, when the mayor comes home, tell him I won't be able to come to the party.
Good evening, Peavy.
I have to stay on duty.
What's going on? Why is all the water running?
There's a big emergency at the water department, Mr. Twilliger. You can hear me at work.
I can't believe my eyes.
Yeah, that's right, Mr. Twilliger. So if you'll express my regrets to the mayor, you say he went down to Peavy's drugstore?
Gildersleeve!
The Great Gildersleeve will be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Boy Scout Week, so it seems a good time to congratulate the many fine American families everywhere who have encouraged the Scout movement to the point where today its membership is at an all-time high. Yes, sir, there are more than 3,250,000 Cub Scouts, Boy Scouts, Explorers, and adult leaders. And Leroy?
Yeah, Unc?
I want to congratulate you on your 43rd birthday.
43rd birthday? Me?
Yeah, as a member of the Boy Scouts, my boy. This week, you're celebrating your 43rd birthday.
Oh, sure. Hey, Unc.
Yes?
We need leaders. Have you ever considered joining the Boy Scouts?
Yeah, after what happened to me tonight, I've even thought of joining the Foreign Legion.
What happened to your two dates?
Well, the mayor found escorts for them. They're probably having a wonderful time.
What do you suppose the mayor's going to say to you tomorrow?
Not a thing, my boy.
No?
He said it all tonight. Good night, folks.
And you are listening to Radio Vault on WHFR. This is our... this is our special holiday show. Partially transcribed. Included in the cast are Walter Valentine's Smith, holiday Randall, show,
Mary Schiff, Shirley Mitchell, Stanley Farrar, and Dick LeGrand. Music.
The Great Gildersleeve from 1953, February 11th. In just a matter of moments, we will be listening to a little clip from Fibber McGee and Molly. In the late 50s, the show had been reduced to a 10-minute feature on Monitor, which was an NBC weekend show, NBC Radio. So Fibber McGee and Molly from 1957, that's up next on Radio Vault.
Please join WHFR Radio on Friday from 2 p.m. till 4 p.m. for Highway 61 and the best in new blues releases and Detroit Blues with DJ Kitty Love on the 89.3 FM airwaves from Henry Ford College at WHFR.FM.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt US Kids, and the Ad Council.
Molly, do you think I ought to send Fern Prawl a valentine?
You mean that girl you went with when you were in high school?
That's the one.
Heavenly days, don't tell me you're still interested in her.
Oh, Molly, don't be ridiculous. Of course I'm not. I hardly even remember what she looks like, except that she had blue eyes and blonde hair and was 5 feet two and weighed 108 pounds.
And that's all you remember?
That's about the size of it. Did you get that, Molly? It has a double meaning. We were talking about Fern's size.
It ain't funny, McGee.
I thought it was pretty good for just stumbling onto it like that.
There's one thing I'd like to know, though. If you aren't interested in Fern Prawl anymore, why do you want to send her a valentine?
I didn't say I wanted to. I just asked whether you thought I ought to. Besides, you still get one every year from Leroy Bodenheimer.
That's different.
Well, I'd like to know what's so gosh darn different about it. Besides, sending a valentine to Fern wouldn't be like sending it to a girl. It's more like the way you'd drop a postcard to an old friend if you was at Grand Canyon or someplace.
You're not at Grand Canyon. Now, why do you feel obligated to send a valentine to somebody you haven't seen for 40 years?
My gosh, Molly, if the girl's been eating her heart out that long, she ought to be entitled to some recognition. For endurance, if for nothing else.
What makes you think that Fern is still eating her heart out for you?
Molly, when a woman feels about a man the way Fern felt about me, the fire don't go out overnight. Did you happen to catch a look at the way she behaved at our wedding?
Yes, she was laughing so hard she almost broke up the ceremony.
Yeah, but she was laughing with tears in her eyes. Molly, you know, I've never had a moment's regret about tossing Fern over for you, but Dad ratted I get a guilty conscience once in a while.
Oh, dear.
Well, it's all my fault that Fern's living a life of spinsterhood.
How do you know she is if you haven't heard from her for 40 years?
Let's face it, Molly. How could a girl possibly go out with me and then be satisfied with somebody else?
Huh?
I know Fern. She wouldn't throw her life away just for the sake of getting married.
Okay, send her a valentine if you want to, McGee. I don't care.
Well, now, don't get the idea I'd send one of those mushy kind. They got more impersonal ones that say stuff like, to an old buddy of either sex on Valentine's Day.
Okay, if it'll ease your conscience. Now, I'm going to go out and get the mail.
I think they tore down Fern's house to make room for the bridge approach in 1922, but I guess if I send it to the old address, she'll get it.
Here's something for you in the mail, McGee. Looks like a card of some kind.
Well, I wonder what that could be. Well, I'll be a kangaroo's cousin. It's a valentine from Fern Prawl. Oh, and she's got a little note on the back. She says, have been trying for years to get out there to see you, but my husband is so busy with oil lands and investments that we don't travel much. I hope you get back here someday. Would love to have you meet my 4 kids and 16 grandchildren. Best regards, Fern.
Ah, she's eating her heart out for you, all right.
Yeah. Well, looks like the kid got lucky. I guess I won't bother sending her a valentine. And Molly, for Pete's sake, tell that Leroy Bodenheimer to stop sending them to you, will you? It isn't proper.
It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks, Rancho.
Our Miss Brooks, who teaches English at Madison High School, was as grateful as any other teacher for the Washington's birthday holiday observed last week.
And far be it from me to criticize the actions of the father of our country, but I can't help wishing that he had taken more than just one day to be born. Of course, the one day off was better than nothing, but I must admit I look forward to a weekend of not teaching with considerable anticipation. It isn't that I'm not fond of my pupils. I think they're a wonderful horde of kids. But after the events of last Thursday, I seriously considered giving up teaching and taking a course in rug tatting or peanut art. It started Thursday after school. Mr. Boynton, the usually bashful biologist, displayed a surprisingly different attitude when I entered his laboratory. Hello, Mr. Boynton.
Oh, hello, Miss Brooks. I was just going to come down to your room.
Oh, then I'll get back there right away. I wouldn't want to miss you.
I guess what I have to say can be said here, all right. Although I can't help wishing the surroundings were different.
Different?
Yes, Miss Brooks, more romantic.
Romantic?
Mm-hmm. I know I haven't been the most aggressive chap in the world, but I do think of other things besides my biological experiments. Things that are, well, more personal.
Personal?
Yes. Things that a man thinks about a woman sometimes, whether she's a fellow teacher or not.
Or not? Just move my needle a notch to the right. Mr. Boynton, what is it you're trying to tell me, I like to think?
Well, it's just that, like I said before, I wish the surroundings were different. I wish we were in a blue lagoon somewhere with a soft breeze blowing through your hair and... Oh, but we're not.
I can take care of that, Mr. Boynton.
Of course, I don't know why we have to be in a blue lagoon. I guess I just feel more confident when I'm over water.
Well, hop up on this stool and I'll fill a pan. I mean, please continue, Mr. Boynton.
Well, as you know, Miss Brooks, I've been coaching the basketball team while Mr. Haney's been ill, and, well, we've been lucky enough to win the championship in our particular conference.
Yes, I know.
We've been invited to play in the state championships at Martinsville. The entire squad leaves this evening. We won't be back until next week. I just want you to know that, well...
Yes, Mr. Boynton?
It's terribly important that we win the championship.
Oh, you'll win it, Mr. Boynton. But what else were you going to say?
Well, I'm not so sure we'll win it. After all, we're playing a round robin.
Well, I bet you could spot him four worms and beat him easily.
I know you're kidding me, Miss Brooks, but I don't mind. You know, now that I'm leaving town, I've come to realize certain things about our relationship.
At last, formal recognition that we have a relationship.
Well, without getting too basic too quickly... I'd like to state that in the past, whenever the situation seems auspicious for declaring certain emotional reactions I've felt, upon finding myself in close proximity to you, that is, some outward manifestation seems to...
Pardon me, Mr. Boynton. Couldn't you get a little more basic more quickly?
Well, what I'm trying to say, Miss Brooks, is that there always seems to be some sort of interruption when I want to talk to you about certain things.
What kind of interruption? I see what you mean.
Come in.
Well, Boynton, as principal of Madison High, I thought you were alone.
We were for a minute. That is, I was just saying goodbye to Mr. Boynton, Mr. Conklin.
I see, Miss Brooks. And have you finished saying goodbye?
No, Mr. Conklin, we haven't.
This boy's been taking brave shots.
What I mean to say, sir, is that we can finish talking after you've spoken to me.
Very well. I simply dropped in to wish you good luck with the team, Mr. Boynton. Remember, by winning the championship cup, you not only honor yourself and the athletes involved, but you bring further glory to the already hallowed name of Madison High. Glory and prestige, fame and honor.
How much have you bet on the game, Mr. Conklin?
Just a thin. I was... No! You know I never bet. It's just that we must get that cup.
Don't worry, Mr. Conklin. We've got the high-scoring forward of the conference in our team, you know.
I see. And how's this boy's condition? Tip-top, I trust?
Well, he's 6 foot 5 inches tall, so his top would be hard to tip. That's a joke, sir.
Thank you. By the way, Miss Brooks, is this the boy we transferred from Miss Enright's English class to yours?
Yes, sir.
Well, tell me, how's his state of mind?
What there is of it is quite happy.
Well, I know he's not a brilliant student, but now that he's in your class, Miss Brooks, I'm sure he'll improve. From what I hear, the boy's an all-round athlete. I want him eligible for other sports during the coming term.
Well, I'll do whatever I can, Mr. Conklin. Of course, it's difficult to give a test without any questions in it, but... we'll get him through all right, Mr. Conklin.
Good, good. Well, I'll be running along now. Best of luck, Boynton. Bring back that cup.
Let's see now. Where were we? Oh, I know. You were telling me something personal.
Well, I wouldn't like to repeat myself, Miss Brooks. Do you remember what it was I said last?
Oh, how could I possibly remember what you said minutes ago? It was just something about you'd like to state that in the past, whenever the situation seemed auspicious for declaring certain emotional reactions you felt upon finding yourself in close proximity to me, that is, some outward manifestation seemed...
That's right. And then you said, couldn't we get a little more basic more quickly?
Right. Then you said there always seems to be some sort of interruption when you want to talk to me about certain things.
And then you said, what kind of interruption?
And then I wrote, whoever it is, get lost.
Come in.
Hiya, Coach. I just... Oh, hello, Miss Brooks.
Hello, Walter. How are you?
Fine and dandy.
Good. Bye-bye, Walter.
I just wanted to remind Mr. Boynton about the big doings tonight. There's going to be a torchlight parade and a snake dance. You'll be there, won't you, Miss Brooks?
Yes, Walter, if I can find a snake in time.
Yeah. Before I go, Miss Brooks, have you seen Stretch around anywhere?
No, not for the past few hours.
Well, if he shows up, please send him into the gym, will you? I want to give him exact directions so he won't get lost on his way to the bus station.
Knowing Stretch, he can get lost after he's got the directions. We'll send him in to you if he shows up here. Thank you, and good day, Walter Denton.
Thank you, Miss Brooks. And may I suggest that you speed Mr. Boynton on his way with a salutation befitting the mentor of a sterling aggregation such as the Madison basketball team?
Walter.
So long, Coach.
I hope you're not embarrassed by Walter's inference, Miss Brooks.
If you think that would embarrass me, you need a coach, Coach. Now, let's take off for that blue lagoon, huh?
I'm afraid I don't comprehend, Miss Brooks.
My hair is blowing in the breeze again. See? What is it you were trying to tell me before Walter came in?
Well, it's just that with my leaving tonight, we won't be seeing each other at all over the weekend.
I know, Mr. Boynton.
Come in. Oh, it's Stretch. How are you, son?
Hi, Mr. Boynton. Hello, Miss Brooks.
Hi.
Well, how do you feel about our impending junket?
Huh?
Mr. Boynton wants to know how you feel about the trip you're taking this evening.
Oh, well, I ain't going.
Stretch, don't say ain't.
Don't say you ain't going. What's the trouble, Stretch? You're not ill, are you?
There's nothing wrong with me physically. My trouble is mostly mental.
Well, don't be self-conscious.
Wait, what is it, Stretch? Maybe I can help you.
I'm afraid you can't, Mr. Boynton. You see, it's... well, it's about a girl.
A girl?
You've seen them. They play on girls' softball team. Is there anything I can do to help, Stretch?
Yes, Miss Brooks, but I'd rather talk to you alone, if it's all right with Mr. Boynton.
Why, certainly, Stretch. I've got to get down to the gym for a few minutes anyway. Miss Brooks, you will try to straighten him out, won't you? You know how important he is to the team.
I'll do what I can, Mr. Boynton.
Good. We'll see you at the snake dance tonight.
Now then, Stretch, tell teacher all about it.
Well, I know I ain't good in English, Miss Brooks.
You're not good in English.
I know. But ever since the first test you give me, I knew that I was going to improve and get the kind of marks in English that I've always stroven for.
Stroven for?
Oh, I know I got a lot to learn yet, but since I met you, I feel that you're more than just a teacher, that you understand kids, and that's why I come to you now. I ain't much at speeches, so I'll just say it right out, Miss Brooks. I'm in love.
In love? With what? A who?
My best friend's girl, Walter Denton.
People don't talk like this in any language. Stretch, are you trying to tell me that you've got a crush on Harriet Conklin?
Exactly. When she's in the stands rooting for the team, I play great. When she isn't, like she's not going to be where we're going to play over the weekend, I don't. So I ain't going, Miss Brooks.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Stretch. Have you told Harriet how you feel about her?
Oh, no. Nor Walter either. I wouldn't want to hurt neither of their feelings. It's just that I can't play without Harriet in the stands.
Look, Stretch, I heard that they're going to show the games on television right here in Madison. That means that Harriet will be in the stand. She'll be right on the sidelines watching your every move.
Honest, Miss Brooks?
May I swallow a board eraser? Now, will you attend the ceremonies tonight and then leave with the rest of the team for Martinsville?
Well, if you say Harriet will be there on the sidelines, I guess I'll go along.
Good. I knew you wouldn't disappoint Mr. Boynton and me.
He was kind of counting on me, I guess. Funny thing about him, though. For a smart scientist, he's not very smart about getting someplace sometime.
My Stretch, what do you mean?
Like with you, I mean. Here you are, a smart, pretty, brainy English teacher with no other attachments, and he don't do nothing about it.
Stretch.
Yes, Miss Brooks?
You ain't just flapping your lips, Doc.
Starring Eve Arden will continue in just a moment. But first, if instead of feeling sorry for herself, Cinderella only had the good sense to listen to House Party every Monday through Friday over most of these stations, she could have had a fine time even when she was home sweeping the hearth. All that fun would have helped her household chores get done faster. And it wouldn't have hurt her one bit if she went off to that fancy dress ball with a smile either. The wonderful thing about House Party is that you could enjoy it 5 days a week. It's good to hear whether you're working, resting, or out driving the car. And if you're attending a fancy dress ball at night or just spending a quiet evening at home, you'll find the high spirits that House Party gives rise to will carry right over to the evening ahead.
Well, the pre-victory celebration was a huge success. A one-hour snake dance and the six-mile torch parade came off promptly at 8 o'clock, and my feet came off promptly at 9. After seeing the basketball squad off for the bus depot, I immediately limped home for a nice, warm bath. Mrs. Davis, my landlady, was sitting in the living room when I opened the door.
Good evening, Connie. How was the snake dance?
Very snaky, thanks.
Did you bid Mr. Boynton a fond goodbye, Connie?
Yes, Mrs. Davis.
What did he say?
Goodbye.
Oh, that man. When is he going to open his eyes and see that?
I think they're opening a little bit, Mrs. Davis. This afternoon in the laboratory, he really started to make a noise like an interested party.
Oh, what happened?
Nothing. I got all involved with the trials and tribulations of a star basketball player and his unrequited romance. But the weekend is upon us, and I won't have to play Dorothy Dix for a few days anyway.
What are you going to do tonight, Connie?
I have some very elaborate plans, Mrs. Davis. Tonight I'm going to have myself a schoolteacher's B&B.
Benedictine and brandy?
No, bath and bed. If you'll excuse me now, I'll drag my carcass into the bathroom and run a tub.
Oh, you don't have to do that, Connie. I've already let the water in. I was going to bathe Minerva tonight.
The cat? But cats aren't supposed to get baths, are they?
Oh, Minerva loves it. Besides, I've just got to bathe her.
Why, are the mice complaining?
No, she was walking near the sink this morning and slipped on the tile, poor dear. Fell right into some dough I was mixing for bread.
Oh. Then maybe Minerva better use the water that's in the tub.
She can wait. You run along, Connie, and take a nice restful...
Now, who in the world can that be? Coming! Stretch, what are you doing here? Why aren't you at the bus depot?
I ain't going.
Again? Well, come in for a minute.
Thanks, Miss Brooks.
This is Mrs. Davis. You remember Stretch.
Of course. He's the famous quarterback on our hockey team, isn't he?
No, lately he's been playing goalie for our tennis team.
Could I talk to you alone, Miss Brooks?
Naturally. Mrs. Davis, would you mind making a little tea?
Not at all, Connie. I'd like some myself. How about you, Stretch? Nice glass of milk?
No, thanks, Mrs. Davis.
Well, I'll bring some anyway. Nothing like milk for a growing boy.
I guess you're pretty disappointed in me, Miss Brooks. But I... Say, what's that?
What's what?
Right behind Mrs. Davis. There's a cake walking into the kitchen.
Oh, relax, Fred. I see it, too. That's just our cat, Minerva. She fell into some dough. Now tell me why you're not with the team.
It's Harriet, Miss Brooks. Even though she'll be seeing me play on television, I won't be able to see her.
I was afraid you'd figure that out. Look, Stretch, I'll get you a nice picture of Harriet and send it airmail. You'll have it by game time tomorrow night. How's that?
Gee, I don't know, Miss Brooks. I would like to have a picture of Harriet, but I wouldn't want anybody to know that I... Walter's my best friend.
I know, Stretch. You wouldn't want to hurt Walter or Harriet or either of their feelings. Believe me, I'll get the picture without anyone knowing for whom it's intended.
I hate to be such a problem to you, but... Well, I never mixed much with other kids outside of in athletics, I mean. And I think my name has something to do with it.
Your name?
You see, my real name is Fabian Snodgrass. When I was little and kids kidded me about it, I got sensitive.
I see. Stretch, do you have any brothers or sisters?
Sure. Two sisters and one brother.
And do they have peculiar names, too?
Oh, no. They all got perfectly normal names. It's like the other day when I was talking to my sister. Rapunzel, I said.
Does it? I'll go into your case more thoroughly when you get back from this trip, Stretch, but right now you've got to rejoin the team. Come along.
You won't forget to send the picture, Miss Brooks.
I won't forget, Stretch. Lots of luck and goodbye again. Rapunzel Snodgrass. Now, there's a family for you. Oh, well, now for that bath. I better see if the water's still warm. Oh, it's pretty cold. I better let it out and run a fresh one.
Come and get your tea, Connie.
I'll be right there, Mrs. Davis. I'm afraid Minerva's water got a little cool. I'm running another tub for myself.
Very well, dear. Where did Stretch go?
Back to the bus depot. Wait till I close this door. The poor kitty's hopelessly in love.
Yes, I overheard. But he shouldn't worry so much about the other boy in the case. Why, when my sister Angela was a girl, she never went out with one boy at a time.
She didn't?
No, she played the field, Angela did. Why, I remember one time she went out with twins for over a year before she found out they were triplets.
Poor Angela. The eternal quadrangle. I'd better take a look at that bath. There. Nice and hot. Now to get these clothes off and... Oh, no, not another interruption.
Hi, Miss Brooks. It's me. Can I come in for a minute?
Yes, Walter, but that's about all. I'm trying to take a bath.
Well, that'll have to wait, Miss Brooks.
Well, it's getting plenty of practice. What's the matter, Walter?
It's Stretch. He disappeared from the station, and when last seen, he was heading in this direction.
He did come here, Walter, but I sent him back down to the depot.
Well, that seems like a pretty silly maneuver. Well, what did he come here about?
He wanted some advice. He's in love, Walter.
In love? In love with who?
Whom?
Who's she?
He's in love with somebody that doesn't love him, a girl who goes with another fellow.
Now, what kind of a girl would go with a fellow when she could go with a star basketball player like Stretch?
I can't divulge the details, Walter, but Stretch was miserable about the situation.
But he's not supposed to be miserable. This is a crucial time. If he likes a girl, she should go with him and brush off this other jerk.
Careful, Walter. You may hate yourself for this. Look, I've smoothed his feathers and sent him back to play the game of his life. Now, you get back to the depot and don't say a word about what I've told you.
Well, all right, Miss Brooks. But I wish I could get a peek at the guy that's got Stretch's girl buffaloed.
You may never see him till you start shaving. Goodbye to you again, Walter Denton. Well, let's see how this water feels now. It could be warmer. I'll let a little out and refill it. Singing in the bathtub, la-da-da-da-da, singing in the bathtub. Now we'll just put the plug back in, run some more water. I always thought that teaching was my only profession, but bathing can be quite a career, too. There, that ought to be just right. Singing in the bathtub, nothing can go wrong. Singing in the bathtub, oh, I should live so long. come in, whoever you are. Oh, it's Mr. Boynton.
Oh, I'm sorry to bother you, Miss Brooks, but Walter Denton's disappeared from the bus depot. Have you seen him?
Of course I've seen him. Won't you come inside, Mr. Boynton?
I haven't time, Miss Brooks. You say you saw Walter. Where is he now?
On the way back to the bus depot.
Oh, good. Stretch got down there before I left, and when he found Walter gone, he was quite upset. Now everything will be all right. Sorry to have troubled you, Miss Brooks. See you next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye, you greyhound Lochavar. Well, at least there's nothing to stop me from taking that bath now. I couldn't have gotten cool in that short space of time. Let's see. Now it's exactly the right temperature. I don't have to let out a drop. Wrong again. Oh, no, it's not you again, Stretch.
I'm a monster.
What do you want from me, an affidavit? What's wrong this time?
When Walter came back to the depot, I took one look at him, and then I knew.
Knew what?
I couldn't go to Martinville without his girl, Harriet. I just can't play unless she's really in the stands.
All right, Stretch, I'll do my best. Go back down to the depot and wait for me.
What are you going to do, Miss Brooks?
I'm going to slip on a straitjacket and run over to the Conklins. I wouldn't have disturbed you this late, Mr. Conklin, but it's absolutely essential if you want Madison to win that championship.
What's essential, Miss Brooks?
That you let Harriet here go to Martinsville with the team.
Me? Go with the team tonight? But of course it's Walter. He needs me.
Stop squealing, girl.
But don't you see, Daddy? Walter's the manager of the team, and he needs me by his side. I hardly dared to hope for it, but now I know. Walter's my life, my future, my all.
Walter isn't the one who requested that you come along, Harriet. It was Stretch.
Stretch? But he's the best athlete at Madison. I'll rush to his side at once.
What about Walter?
Who needs Walter? When's the bus leave, Miss Brooks?
Not so fast, young lady. What's this all about, Miss Brooks?
Well, it's Stretch, Mr. Conklin. He's got a crush on Harriet. And if she'll just be in the stands and root for him, he says Madison is bound to win. There's really no harm in it.
No harm in it? But Martinville is 400 miles away. The basketball team is composed entirely of boys. Boys and Mr. Boynton. Who'd chaperone my daughter?
Who else but Miss Brooks? Come on, Miss Brooks, pack a bag and we'll have to...
Oh, just a minute, Harriet. I can't go to Martin.
Oh, of course you can. It's your idea, isn't it? Now go on home and get... Wait a minute. With Mr. Boynton coaching the team, you'll need a chaperone yourself.
Then why don't you come along, Daddy?
What? Me? The principal of the school leave Madison for a weekend? To watch our basketball team play a round robin with the best teams in the state? Tell your mother we're leaving at once.
Oh, just one thing, Mr. Conklin.
Yes?
Do you think they have a bathtub in Martinsville? Well, I never thought when I woke up this morning that I'd be riding on the bus with you and the team tonight, Mr. Boynton.
Oh, I'm glad it worked out this way, Miss Brooks.
I am too.
Me too.
Driver, I'm Mr. Conklin, the principal of Madison High.
Oh, how do you do, Mr. Conklin? My name's Fredericks. What can I do for you?
Well, I'd like to open a few of these windows, if nobody minds. It's kind of stuffy in here.
Yeah, it is kind of crowded in the bus. You see, we didn't expect all you extra passengers. In fact, there was one kid back at the depot I couldn't even allow on.
Which kid was that, Mr. Fredericks?
Oh, some tall fella. Said his name was Snodgrass, Stretch Snodgrass.
Well, just as long as he wasn't an important member of the team, it's...
Stretch Snodgrass! Eve Arden as our Miss Brooks returns in just a moment, but first...
Give the world a break. Give it the smile it deserves. And while you're at it, give yourself a break, too. Keep smiling to the antics of our expanded Amos and Andy Music Hall. On the hour-long Robert Q. Lewis Show.
You are listening to WHFR. Dearborn.
Stations each Monday through Friday night and Saturday in the daytime, too. And each of them, in any number of ways, is a listening delight. Amos and Andy, the Kingfish, and all of their friends, including some of the biggest names in show business, are open for business six times a week, now at their music hall. And since their business is a pleasure, you'll find it a happy place to be. The Robert Q. Lewis Show offers you unlimited opportunities for having a good time, too. With Ray Block and his orchestra to back them up, Judy Johnson and Richard Hayes handle any old or new song hit with ease and distinction. And of course, in his own informal fashion, Robert Q. Lewis keeps the laughs coming with unflagging speed. So tomorrow, or any Monday through Friday night, and on Saturday in the daytime from now on, do your full share of the smiling. Hear the Amos and Andy Music Hall and the Robert Q. Lewis Show. And when you do, get set to find the whole world smiling back at you.
And now, once again, here is our Miss Brooks.
Well, Mr. Conklin was furious, and the only way I could square myself with him was to give up my seat to Stretch when the bus returned to pick him up. Then I went home, got undressed, and steered my stubborn little course for the bathroom. Now I can really... Oh, hello, Mrs. Davis.
Hello, Connie. I was going to postpone Minerva's bath till tomorrow, but she just couldn't wait any longer.
Oh? When did you put her into the tub, Mrs. Davis?
Just this minute, Connie.
Well, I can't wait any longer either. Move over, Minerva.
Where are you going, little girl? Said the wolf to Red Riding Hood. I'll bet you're going to your grandmother's house and that's a basket of goodies you have on your arm. You lose your bet, said Red Riding Hood. In the first place, it's not a basket of goodies, it's my lunch. In the second place, I'm not going to my grandmother's house, I'm staying here. In the third place, I'm not a little girl in the first place, but a full-fledged member of the Ground Observer Corps spotting planes here on this hilltop. Incidentally, spotters are needed for all shifts to help keep Uncle Sam's defense network operating 24 hours a day. If you have nothing better to do than jump out at people from behind trees, I suggest you might use your time more valuably by volunteering for the Ground Observer Corps yourself. Civil defense is everybody's business. Little girls, growled the wolf, are getting too smart these days, and he was right. It's smart to help guard your own home and community from danger from the air. Why don't you join your neighbors who are already members of GOC? Wherever you live, whatever hours you can give, there's a place for you in Operation Skywatch. CBS Radio urges you to get in touch with your local civil defense office for more information about the Ground Observer Corps. Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden, is produced by Larry Burns, written and directed by Al Lewis, with music by Wilbur Hatch. Mr. Conklin was played by Gail Gordon. Others in tonight's cast were Jane Morgan, Dick Crenna, Gloria McMillan, Leonard Smith, and Frank Nelson. Be with us again next week at the same time for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks. This is Johnny Jacobs speaking.
America listens most to the CBS Radio Network.
And once again, you are listening to Radio Vault on WHFR. Dearborn, featuring local and independent artists. This is our special holiday Valentine's Day extravaganza. We've got Jack Benny, whose birthday was also on Valentine's Day. And Jack would have been over 100 years today, I think approximately 130 years if Jack Benny were still with us. We'll hear one of his episodes from February 15 of 1942. That's coming up.
Yeah, come on back to the 50s and 60s every Monday at 2 p.m. Join me, Daddy G, at the Malt Shop for all the blasts from the past that'll bring back those memories of an easier time. That's every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern. Be there or be square.
If you want to change the world, then you have to change yourself. One of the best places in the Metro Detroit area to improve your life is Henry Ford College. Henry Ford College offers dozens of degree and certificate programs, plus the opportunity to network with your peers and potential employers. Taking classes at Henry Ford College gives you the freedom to take your own career path and opens up an infinite number of career possibilities. Additionally, day and evening classes allow you the flexibility of building a schedule tailored to your busy lifestyle. For more information on admittance, financial aid, and class schedules, visit www.hfcc.edu today. That's www.hfcc.edu. So change the world. Change yourself at Henry Ford College.
The Jell-O program, brought to you by Jell-O and Jell-O Pudding, starring Jack Benny, with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Dennis A. Rochester, and yours truly, Don Wilson. The orchestra opens the program with Marine's Hymn. Was Marine's Hymn played for the orchestra. And now, ladies and gentlemen, yesterday, February 14th, was not only Valentine's Day, but also the birthday of Jack Benny, who was exactly years of age. So, let us show you what happened. The time, 7 o'clock last night. The place, Jack's home in Beverly Hills. Take it away.
My mama done told me when I was in knee pains. My mama done told me, son, a woman will sweet talk and give you...
Gee, it's my birthday, and I don't know what to do tonight.
Why don't you go to a movie, boss?
That's an idea. Let's see. Now look in the paper and see what's playing around.
A woman will sweet talk and give you a big eye. But when the sweet talking's done...
Maybe there's a bank night someplace. No, not on Saturday. Now, let's see.
A woman's a two-faced, worrisome thing to leave you to sing the blues in the night.
Gosh, I don't know where to go. Now the rains are falling here, the train a calling wooey.
My mama done told me.
Here, that lonesome... Say, here's a movie I could see. I could see Ball of Fire.
Yeah, Miss Barbara Stanley's in that.
Oh, yes. I saw her in the Brown Derby today, and she walked right by me. Well, what other picture can I see? Here, that lonesome whistle blow across the trestle.
Hoo-wee!
My mama done told... Oh, here's Ida Lupino in Ladies in Retirement. Now, she never speaks to me either. Now, what else?
From Natchez to Mobile, from Memphis to St. Joe.
St. Joe. What a hit I used to be in that town. Boy.
Wherever the four winds blow.
Very good, Rochester. I wish Johnny Mercer could have heard that. Now sing Rose O'Day.
Oh, boss, come now.
Rochester, I said sing Rose O'Day.
Well, Mr. Benny, if you're in the mood for entertainment, why don't you turn on the radio?
The radio's out of commission.
Did you kick the tubes out of that thing again?
Well?
What a temper you got. Every time Mr. Allen has a funny program, crash, bang, zowie.
Listen, Rochester, Fred Allen hasn't had a funny program since the night his pants fell down and he had Portland's underwear on. They live in a very dark room, you know. here's a swell double feature tonight at the Bijou. Gary Cooper and Sergeant York, and Jack Benny and Charlie's aunt. I think I'll go there.
But, Mr. Benny, you've seen Charlie's aunt over 20 times.
I've never seen it at the Bijou. I might as well take a girl along with me. Give me my little red book, Rochester.
The one Mr. Harris sold you when he got married?
No. No, no, my red book. The one I've always had.
Oh, the thin one.
Never mind the book, Rochester. I know who I'll call. She'd like to go to a movie.
From Natchez to Mobile, from Memphis to St. Joe.
St. Joe, they love me there.
Wherever the storm blows, I've been in some...
Hold it, Rochester.
Now.
Hello? La Belle Tour Apartment? I'd like to speak to Miss Scheherazade Crump. Yes, please. I've been in some big rooms and her... Hello? Hello, Scheher? This is Jack. Jack Benny, Blue Eyes. Say, honey, how would you like to see Gary Cooper and Sergeant York tonight? The other feature, Charlie's aunt. Okay, some other time. So long, Scheher. I don't blame her. She's seen it so often, you know. Oh, well, I'll go to a movie alone.
On your birthday, boss? Why don't you call that girl you took roller skating last week?
Oh, yes, Thelma Stronach. She might be home now, yeah.
From Natchez to Mobile, from Memphis to St. Joe.
St. Joe, I can still hear that applause.
Wherever the full wind blows.
Hold it. Hello, say, Thelma, how would you like to go to a movie tonight? Oh, goodbye.
Didn't she want to go, boss?
How do I know? A man answered. Oh, well, I'll think of somebody to take along. I wish I could remember some...
Say, Mr. Benny, look who's here.
Well, if it isn't little Miss Lee. Well, well, well. For heaven's sake. Hello, Carolyn.
Hello, Jack. Happy birthday.
Thank you, honey. Say, what have you got in that box?
Some candy for you, and I made it all by myself.
Oh, some candy, a present. Isn't that thoughtful? My, it's fudge, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm going to eat a piece right now.
It would taste better, but my mommy told me I mustn't use sugar.
Oh! Well, it certainly is delicious. Here, Rochester, have a piece.
It ain't my birthday.
Howard. Well, Carolyn, it sure is tasty. And, oh, look, here's a piece with a nut in it.
Where?
Right here, see?
Well, thank heaven, that's the eye I lost out of my dolly.
Oh, here, take it, Carolyn.
Thanks. Well, I gotta go home now. Goodbye, Jack.
Good night, sweetheart.
See you tomorrow.
Gee, she's a cute kid. She comes in every day. 7:30. Well, if I want to take a girl to a movie tonight, I'd better get going. Oh, I know. Why didn't I think of it before? Rochester, get me Miss Ginger Rogers home.
Miss Ginger Rogers?
Yes, yes. Don't be so surprised. Never mind. I've got her number around here someplace. I'll find it. My mama done told me when I was in knee pain. My mama done told me song. Oh, is this Ginger Rogers' house? Good. I'd like to speak to Miss McGuire, please. Jack Benny calling. I said, Miss McGuire. Oh, not working there anymore? Oh, okay, goodbye. Guess she must have married that policeman. Well, I can scratch Ginger Rogers' name out of my book. I think I'll just stay home and read. Hand me that Radio Guide magazine, Rochester.
Here you are. Oh, by the way, boss, there's a story about you in there.
I know. I mean, there is? Well, let's see it. Say, Rochester, while I'm sitting here reading, you might as well give me a haircut. Then you won't have to do it tomorrow. Get the scissors and everything.
Right with you, boss.
Let's see. What page is that interview on? Here it is. Jack Benny, the real him. Good title there.
All set, boss. Hold still.
Okay, don't take too much off the sides. Get a load of this, Rochester. Jack Benny, the sophisticated comedian, is in real life just an assuming country boy from Waukegan. That's me, all right. And this may come as a surprise to you readers, but Mr. Benny is so modest that he has yet to see himself on the screen. Well, Rochester. When interviewed at his Beverly Hills home, we found... Oh, hello, Mary.
Hello, Jack. Many happy returns.
Thanks.
Well, for heaven's sake, what are you doing with that bowl on your head?
I'm getting a haircut. What do you think? Rochester, leave my sideburns long. I'm taking rumba lessons.
Oh, Jack, will you stop trying to look like Cesar Romero?
I'm not trying to look like my Romero. My goodness, just because I'm an unassuming country boy from Waukegan, I don't have to look like a hick.
Oh, you read that article, eh?
What article?
Right there in that magazine. Jack Benny, the real ham.
That's him. The real him. It's a pretty good story, but I don't know where they get those photographs of me. Get a load of this one. Look like I've got a double chin.
Well, you have got a double chin.
I have not.
And what's that hanging under your jaw, a cocoon?
No, it's not a cocoon. All I say is, woo, woo. Say, Rochester, woo. Rochester, there's something tickling me on top of my head. What is it?
Wait a minute, boss. Well, how could I ever be so careless?
What's wrong?
I left a goldfish in the bowl.
A goldfish? Well, get him out. Take the bowl off.
If I do that, I'll lose my place.
I don't care. Take this goldfish bowl off my head.
It's stuck, boss.
Stuck? Well, take the handle of the scissors and tap it a little.
Yes, sir.
Well, you did it. Are you happy?
Now, where'd that goldfish go?
Never mind the goldfish. Finish cutting my hair. I can't understand how that bowl got stuck.
I can. Every time you read an article about yourself, your head swells 2 inches.
That all depends on whether the article is good or bad, Miss Livingston. Hurry up, Rochester. I want to go to a movie.
A movie? Oh, Rochester, will you please come in the other room? I want to talk to you a minute.
Yes, Miss Livingston.
What do you want to talk to him about?
Never mind. Look for the goldfish. I'll be right back. Now, Rochester, the gang's coming over here pretty soon, and we're going to throw a surprise party for Mr. Benny.
A surprise party?
Yes. Now, it's up to us to see that he stays right here in the house.
Oh, he won't go out tonight unless he gets a date.
Then what am I worrying about? Come on, let's go back.
All right, Mitzi, if you gotta work, you gotta work. Goodbye. Oh, say, Mary, would you like to go to a movie tonight and see Gary Cooper and Sergeant York?
I saw that. What's the other feature?
Oh, I don't know. Let's take a chance.
I thought so.
Well, it's a swell double bill. Are you all through with my haircut, Rochester?
Yes, sir.
Good. Now, just put a little bay rum on so I'll smell sweet.
Uh-oh.
Rochester, what became of the bay rum?
The which?
The bay rum. Where is it?
Well, the bay is in San Francisco. I don't know what happened to the rum.
Oh, my goodness. I wish you wouldn't drink everything in this house. Well, I'm going to the movies, even if I have to go alone.
Oh, wait a minute, Jack. Why don't you let me give you a manicure?
I don't want a manicure. I'm going to a movie. It's Saturday night, and I... Oh, hello, Dennis. What are you doing here?
Happy birthday, Mr. Benny. Surprise, surprise.
Dennis.
Am I too early?
Dennis.
Surprise? What are you talking about?
Well, he's surprised because you've got long sideburns and you look just like Cesar Romero.
Oh. Oh, thanks, kid.
You're welcome. Gee, I nearly spilled the beans, didn't I?
Quiet.
What are you doing here anyway, kid?
Oh, nothing. Say, Mr. Benny, you and Abraham Lincoln both have the same birthday, don't you?
Well, not quiet, Dennis. You see, my birthday is February the 14th, and Abe Lincoln's is February the 12th.
Yeah, Lincoln is 2 days older than Jack.
Mary, we weren't born in the same year. In fact, I barely remember him. Well, thanks again, Dennis.
Oh, say, that reminds me, Mr. Benny. You know what I'm going to sing on the program tomorrow?
What?
Jerome Kern's new song, Abe Lincoln Had Just One Country.
Well, that's very appropriate, Dennis. Well, so long, kids. I'm going to a movie.
Wait a minute. Don't you want to hear the song? Sing it for him, Dennis.
I can hear it tomorrow.
You'll hear it right now. Come on, Dennis.
Okay. I'm sure sorry I let the cat out of the B-A-G.
Dennis, will you please sing your song?
What's all the mystery about, for heaven's sake? Oh, ho! I think I get it. I smell an R-A-T.
Take a lesson from old Abe Lincoln in times of stormy weather. Take a lesson from old Abe Lincoln. Let's face the storm together. Abe Lincoln had just one country and one banner to wave. With one banner to wave. This Union was born in freedom, and this Union must live in freedom, and this freedom is worth saving and worth fighting to save. With one banner to wave. This Union was born in freedom, and this Union must live in freedom, and this freedom is worth saving and worth fighting to save.
Well, Dennis, that was positively thrilling. Well, if I'm going to a movie, I might as well get started. Or maybe I should stay at home in case anybody drops in.
Yeah, let's stay here and play bridge.
I don't feel like bridge. What else can we play?
Might I suggest a few rubbers of ivory gin rummy?
Rochester, put those dice back in your pocket.
Let's go to a picture, Mr. Benny. Come on.
I am not going to leave the house until the gang gets here and surprises me. So there.
Well, you see, Dennis, you spoiled everything.
Oh, yeah, I was wise.
Well, then there's no use keeping it a secret. The gang will be here in a few minutes and bring you a present.
Oh, a birthday present, eh? Well.
Say, Rochester, go out in the kitchen and fix up a big tray of sandwiches.
Yes, ma'am.
Don't you cut one slice of bread. Listen, Mary, when your friends give you a surprise party, they're supposed to bring the food. Now, do it right. Gonna do it tall.
Well, don't worry. We bought cold cuts, cheese, bread, and lots of stuff.
Oh.
And here's a nickel. We may need water for coffee.
The coffee I'll furnish. And I'll also contribute some homemade fudge. All I say is that...
Hey, Jack, look who's here.
Oh, yes, it's Mr. Billingsley playing soldier again. Company! Oh! Well, good evening, Mr. Billingsley.
Good
evening. At ease, man.
Good evening, Mr. Benny. Still up and about, I see.
Yes, yes, I didn't feel like going to bed.
I'm a little disappointed in you. I blew taps over an hour ago.
Yes, I know, but you see, some visitors dropped in, and we...
Visitors, eh? May I see their passes?
Oh, they're on our side, Mr. Billingsley. They know the password and everything. Give them the password, Mary.
I am not going to bray like a jackass for anybody.
All right, I'll do it for you. Hee-haw.
Pass, friend.
Oh, say, Mr. Billingsley, I notice you're wearing a sun helmet. Are you headed for the tropics?
No, I'm eating at Chasen's tonight.
Good, good. Well, see you later, Mr. Billingsley. Good night.
Good night. Company, forward, dance.
Dance? Well, there he goes.
Some soldier is carrying a flit gun.
It works out, Mary. To him, moths are airplanes. But it keeps him busy. You know, one thing about Mr. Billingsley. Hey, that must be the gang now.
Now, for heaven's sake, Jack, don't spoil it. Act surprised.
Don't worry, I'm an actor. Say, I wonder who that is. Come in!
Surprise!
Boys, well, oh my goodness, what is this? What's going on here?
It's a surprise party for you, Jack.
Yeah, Jackson, a surprise party for our good old boss.
For good old me?
Gee, fellas, I don't know what to say. Here I was, just spending a quiet evening at home, never dreaming that...
Don't overdo it.
Never dreaming that you fellas were going to throw a surprise party. Just for me.
Shall we give him his present now, Don?
No, let's give it to him later.
Give it to me now while I'm sentimental. Hand it over.
Not so fast, Jackson. A speech goes with this. Take it, Don.
Speech. Where's the present?
Jack, on behalf of Mary, Phil, Dennis, Rochester, and myself...
Yes, yes.
...and all the boys in the band, Frankie, Charlie, Mitch, Sam, Skippy...
Yeah, look,
Fletcher,
you don't have to name them. Look, I know the boys.
And on behalf of Jell-O and those delicious flavors...
This I can't stop.
Strawberry, raspberry, cherry, orange, lemon, and lime. I would like to present you with this lovely token of our esteem and affection.
Well,
here you are, Jackson. Open it up. We hope you like it.
Oh, boy. Gee, here I was sitting at home, never dreaming that... Oh, for Pete's sake. Oh, fellas, you shouldn't have done it.
You like it, Jack?
Like it? Why... It's just what I needed.
What is it, boss?
A can of crab meat. And the big size, too. You know, that stuff is hard to get nowadays. Oh, Rochester, get the can opener and we'll taste it.
There's a can opener with it.
Oh, for... Well, wonders never cease. Crab meat.
Well, what are we waiting for? Let's have some fun.
Yeah. For I'm a jolly good fellow. I'm a jolly good fellow. For... Oh, someone at the door. Come in. Come in. Well, it's a Western Union boy. Hello there.
Hello, stranger.
Slapper. Well, Schlepperman, this is a surprise I didn't figure on. What's the idea of wearing a Western Union uniform?
Quiet. I told my wife I'm drafted.
Oh, well, what's this all about, Schlepp? Have you got a message for me?
Have I got a message? A singing telegram delivered in person by Bing Schlepperman.
Bing, eh?
With him, it's horses. With me, it's our bicycle.
Well, let's have the greeting, Schlepp. Go ahead.
All righty. Hit it, boys. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Jack Benny. Oh, sabotage, eh? Happy birthday, Jack Benny. Happy birthday to you.
That was wonderful, Schlepp, wonderful. Now, stick around. We're all going to have some fun.
Bring the sandwiches, Rochester.
Yeah, first we'll eat, and then we'll... Woo! Woo! And then we'll... Woo! Woo!
Jack, what's the matter with you?
I found that goldfish. It went down my back. Woo! Woo! Grab it! Darn you, Rochester, the next time you give me a hair... Woo! Woo! Watch out what you're doing. This is the last number of the 20th program in the current Yellow series, and we'll be with you again next Sunday at the same time, broadcasting from the U.S. Army Post at the Presidio in San Francisco. Good night, folks.
The Yellow Show is written by Bill Morrow and Eddie Boulogne.
This program came to you from Hollywood. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
KFI Los Angeles.
And this is actually WHFR, Dearborn. How are you doing? This is our Valentine's Day show. And we've got more. We've got another Jack Benny. And I believe we're going to get to Danny Kaye today as well.
Sometimes things can get rather silly. But one thing's for sure, Phil Mack will guide you through. And try to leave you feeling giddy. And try to leave you feeling happy. Thematic. Heard on Wednesdays from 12 to 4. Thematic.
Interviews, some classics, and
so much more. Thematic.
Woo! Catch Thematic every Wednesday from 12 to 4 p.m.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
The Great Nuts Flakes program, coming to you from Toronto, Ontario, and starring Jack Benny, with Mary Livingston, Dennis Day, Rochester, yours truly, Don Wilson, and our guest conductor, Alan McIver, and his all-Canadian orchestra.
Ladies and gentlemen, for the first time in our broadcasting history, our program this evening originates outside the borders of the United States.
Yes, sir, we're in Toronto, Canada.
Canada, stretching 3,000 miles from Nova Scotia in the east to Vancouver Island in the distant Pacific.
It's big, all right.
Canada, famous for its farming, its lumbering, its mining, and its fur trapping.
Yep, everything from grizzly bear to skunk.
Which brings us to our master of ceremonies, Jack Benny.
How is that? And I had to help him out on that. Oh, well, hello again. This is Jack Benny, the grizzly bear, talking. I've got too much hair tonic on me to be that other animal, you know. And Don, this is sure a thrill broadcasting from the Dominion of Canada. Look at those uniforms out in the audience. Men from the Royal Canadian Navy, the Canadian Active Army, the Royal Canadian Air Force.
And don't forget the Royal Norwegian Air Force.
Yes, sir, They've all turned out. And I love the people up here in Toronto, Don. They're so friendly, and they go out of their way to make you comfortable.
What do you mean?
Well, for instance, when I arrived in town, it was snowing. So they dug an underground tunnel from the Union Station to the Royal York Hotel just for me. Now, that's real consideration.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Jack. That tunnel connecting the Union Station and the Royal York Hotel has been there for years.
It has? Gee.
Of course, everybody knows that.
Oh, my goodness. Then I better rush over there right away.
What's the matter, Jack?
Oh, I've got to take down that sign I put up.
What sign?
Jack Benny Tunnel, admission 10 cents. Gee, people here will think I'm awful, you know?
Oh. I wouldn't worry about it. By the way, Jack, are you stopping at the Royal York?
Yes, Dennis and I, and Dennis is a ranger, and my riders, and their riders, and a man named McTavish from Winnipeg, who's in the grain business, we're sharing a lovely room. It has twin beds, of course.
Oh, I see. Does your room overlook Lake Ontario?
I don't know. McTavish always hangs his kilt across the window. Nice chap, though, you know. Come in. Yes?
Mr. Benny, on behalf of the English-speaking population of Canada, I'd like to welcome you to Toronto and present you with this genuine Canadian quarter.
A Canadian quarter? Well, thank you. What's that for?
We want you to spend something while you're up here.
Just for that, I'm going to spend that quarter. McTavish and I are going out to dinner. What's left over, we'll split a cigar. Yes, sirree. Oh, hello, Mary.
Hello, Jack.
Hello. Well, Mary, are you having fun on our little visit to Canada?
I'll say. And what a beautiful city Toronto is. You know, Jack, yesterday I got on a streetcar and went over to visit my cousin.
Oh, do you have a cousin living here in Canada?
Yeah, Vancouver.
Now, wait a minute, Mary. You can't take a streetcar from Toronto to Vancouver.
That's his name, Vancouver Livingston.
Oh. Well, Mary, we've certainly covered a lot of ground in 1 week, haven't we? Toronto, Ottawa, Montreal.
You said it. And say, Jack, in Montreal, I stayed at the Windsor Hotel, and I slept in the same room that Mrs. Roosevelt had a few days before.
The same room Mrs. Roosevelt had? How do you know?
Well, in the middle of the night, the phone rang. I said, hello.
Yes?
And a boy said, I'm back from North Africa. Where are you?
Well, it must have been Mrs. Roosevelt's room, all right.
Speaking of Montreal, Mary, isn't that a romantic old city? What food they have!
To Wilson, a bowl of onion soup is romance.
Mary, but you're... But you're right, Don. The food in Montreal is terrific, especially in those little French restaurants.
You ought to stay out of those little French restaurants until you learn to speak the language.
What are you talking about?
I parlay Francois Trey Bonnie. And incidentally, Mary, you should have had some of those escargot I ordered. Yum, yum.
Well, I don't like snails.
Snails? Yikes! Holy smoke, I ate three orders of snails.
No wonder you've been walking so slow the last few days.
No, quiet. I can't understand making such a silly mistake. Why, in Waukegan High School, French was my best subject. In fact, we... Come in.
Monsieur Benet?
Oui?
Au nom de la population canadienne-française du Canada, je désire vous souhaiter une cordiale bienvenue à notre beau pays.
Oui, oui, oui.
What's he saying, Jack?
Well, nothing about snails has come up, that I know. Procedez-vous, Mansour. Procedez-vous.
Nous pensons que vos remarques sont vraiment drôles.
Oui, oui. Continuez.
Et nous apprécions à juste titre votre habileté artistique et espérons bien que votre séjour au Canada sera des plus agréables. Bonsoir.
Well, now that was really sweet, really. I mean, sorry. Sorry, he got away. Sorry he got away so fast. I would love to have parlayed with him longer, you know?
Well, tell us, Jack, what did he say?
What did he say? He said that, he implied, that is, he more or less suggested, look, he's gone, we had a nice chat, now let's forget him. My goodness. Well, Dennis Day. Hello, Dennis.
Hello.
Well, Dennis, I haven't seen you since we left Ottawa. Did you have a good time there?
Yeah, it was wonderful, and I was sure thrilled when we met the king.
The king? The king?
Yeah, King Mackenzie.
That's Mackenzie King. Listen, that's Mackenzie... That's Mackenzie King. He's the Prime Minister.
Oh.
And I enjoyed meeting him, too.
You know, Mr. Benny, these Canadian people sure are generous. They really overdo it.
What do you mean, overdo it?
Well, I gave the girl at the cashier's desk a $10 bill, and she gave me $11 change. She must be nuts about me.
Listen, Dennis, she gave you the right change. You see, $10 American for 11 Canadian is international monetary stabilization. And is determined through equitable negotiations on the part of the Canadian and American fiscal policy authorities.
You better lay off those snails, brother.
Oh, for Pete's sake. Now, Dennis, in the first place...
No, Jack, stop wasting your breath. Dennis will never get that stuff through his head.
Mary's right. Dennis is too confused to understand such a complicated subject.
Now, wait a minute. Let's be fair about this. Dennis may be a little confused, but he's not dumb. He's not stupid.
Talk is cheap. Let's see you prove it.
Well, there's no use waiting. I'll have to keep that kid in a trunk. Never mind, Dennis. Let's have your song and do a good job. Hold it a minute. Come in.
Monsieur, Mr. Benny, fellow posture, let me program it today, Rick.
Oui, oui, monsieur.
Wow. Jack, he's not French. He's a Norwegian flyer.
Oh, a Norwegian flyer. Oh, go ahead, sir.
På vegne av alle gutta i det norske flygevåpen som trener her i Canada og i kamp overseas.
Yes.
Vil jeg gjerne benytte anledningen til å si at vi synes de meget morsomme og at vi liker dem meget bedre enn røyka laks.
Well, now, would you mind telling me what you said in English?
Mr. Benny, we Norwegians think you are very funny. And we like you much better than smoked white fish.
Well, that's very nice of you. Go ahead and sing, then. Go ahead.
You'll be so home to, you'll be so. might file a fire while the breeze on high sang a lullaby. You'll be all that I could desire under stars chilled by the wind.
Come home to, sung by Dennis Day. And Dennis, that was swell.
Thank you. And Mr. Benny, since today is your birthday, I'd like to dedicate that number to you.
Well.
That's right, Jack. Happy birthday.
Many happy returns of the day, old boy.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thanks, everybody. Gosh, another birthday.
No kidding, Mr. Benny. Were you really born on February 14th?
Yep, I was a Valentine baby. Cupid brought me instead of the stork.
Yeah. Stork?
Huh?
A stork?
Yes.
There's something fishy there, but I'm only guessing.
Dennis, I mean Cupid brought me because I was born on Valentine's Day. But the stork brings everybody else.
Oh, you're a little wrong there, Jack. A crane brought me.
Now, what's the... What's the difference? Stork or crane, they're both birds.
I mean a crane, like in a shipyard.
Oh, you mean a hoy. Well, Don, you're an exception. You see, you were a very heavy baby. I understand your nurse had to jack you up to put your diapers on. Well, anyhow, getting back to me, here it is, another birthday.
Say, Mr. Benny.
Yes, Dennis.
Well, I'll probably get slugged for this. But how old are you exactly?
Well, Dennis, let me put it this way. I'm as frisky as a boy of 10. I feel like sweet 16. And I don't look a day older than 25.
Now just add those up and you got it.
Mary, I'm not 51. I'm in my late 30s. Or my early 40s.
You were in your early 40s in the gay 90s.
Never mind. And now, ladies and gentlemen...
I wish I had a nickel for every time Lillian Russell slapped your face.
I said, never mind. If I may be so bold. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to have you meet our guest conductor this week, Mr. Alan McIver from Montreal.
Thank you, everybody.
So your name is Alan McIver, eh? Alan. Do you mind if I call you Al?
Oh, no, not at all.
Thank you. You see, I happen to know a fella named Alan, and just the... just the mention of his name makes my hair stand on end.
Open your shirt and show him.
I mean the hair on my head. Well, sir, let's have your band number. What's it going to be?
I've prepared a special arrangement of Canadian capers.
Good.
Oh, by the way, Mr. Benny, I don't know if this is the right time to bring it up,
But I enjoy your work in pictures very, very much.
You do? Well, well.
Yes, I saw you and George Washington slept here, and you are wonderful.
Thank you.
Especially Ann Sheridan.
Everybody says that. Incidentally, Mr. McIver, I'm in a new picture now called The Meanest Man in the World. I suppose you'll see that.
Who else is in it?
Well, I have a swell role. You see, I play the part of a young lawyer who is a failure because he's so nice and sweet and kind.
Who else is in it?
And it isn't until I change my character and become the meanest man in the world that I achieve the prominence that I so justly deserve.
Who else is in it?
Priscilla Lane and Rochester. Who do you think is in it? Let's have your number. What a fan. For heaven's sake. All right, folks, Canadian caper.
Just a minute, Jack. Speaking of Canada, yeah. I've written a very clever message which involves various cities and towns in this dominion.
Oh, who else is in it? I mean, you have... What's the matter with me?
Yes, it goes something like this.
Don, that was wonderful. I'm sure you've given the people hella facts about our product. I bet Ruby Stevens hated that one. And now, Mr. McIver, I think you can play. Who's that? Come in. Well, it's the Canadian girl, the French-Canadian soldier, and the Norwegian flyer. What's this for?
Happy birthday, Mr. Benny, and may you have many more of them.
Thank you. Thank you.
Vous souhaitez une bonne fête, Monsieur Benny. Espérant que vous en aurez beaucoup d'autres.
Merci. Merci beaucoup.
Til lykke med fødselsdagen. Jeg håper vi vil oppleve mange flere av dem.
Mange takk. Mange takk. Play, McIver. Gee, a birthday in three languages. Ain't I something? That was Canadian Capers, played by Al McIver and his orchestra. And Al, that was very, very good and quite apropos. And now, ladies and gentlemen, since we are in the Dominion of Canada, for our special attraction this evening,
Mary Livingston will read a poem.
Mary Livingston will... Nothing doing, Mary. The poem is out.
You let me read my poem, or I'll tell everybody that you think the tunnel from the Union Station to the hotel was dug especially for you.
They know that already.
Then I'll tell them that you're charging a dime to walk through it.
They know that, too.
Do they know you're letting people go through piggyback for 15 cents?
How'd you go through all of that without fluffing a line?
I don't know, Jack.
The special raid. That was wonderful. You're very good. Listen. All right, let's have your poem. What's the title of it?
Here's to Canada. It's Army, Navy, Air Force, Merchant Marine, Ferry Command, and the FIMTA.
The FIMTA? What's that?
The fellow I met this afternoon.
Oh. Well, go ahead.
Here's to the land of the maple leaf, our neighbor good and true. Greetings from Don and Dennis and me, and Jack with eyes of blue.
They have been compared to Lake Ontario through McTavish's kilt. You know? Go ahead, Masseuse. I mean, Miss. Go ahead.
Oh, Canada, you are so mighty. Your snow-capped mountains are so whitey.
Whitey?
Your air is cold. Your wind is bitey. That's why I wear a flannel nighty.
Hey. Me too.
Oh, Canada, where seals do play, way up north in Hudson Bay. The Eskimos, they live in igloos and keep their pigs in little pigloos.
Mary, they don't have pigs up there. They eat blubber. Hmm.
The Eskimos, they live on blubber. It looks like steak, but tastes like rubber.
Well.
The nights up there last half a year. So if you walk in your sleep, take a sandwich and beer.
That's right. That's right. A little midnight snack around the middle of December would be good. Is that all? Is that all, Mary?
No, one more verse.
Okay.
So here's to the land of the maple leaf, our neighbor good and true. Our visit has been wonderful. So thanks. Merci beaucoup.
Very, very good. Very good. Well, Mary, that was a swell poem and a beautiful thought, and I'm sure that goes for all of us. Now, fellas, before I forget it, excuse me, come in.
Mr. Benny?
Yes?
I'm an Eskimo, and I have a message for you.
Well, a bald-headed Eskimo. He must have a small entrance to his igloo. What's the message, sir?
On behalf of the Eskimos of Canada, Glub, Ugg, Rickajack, Belwah, Zoc, Powie.
What does that mean?
How do I know? I'm a bellboy at the hotel.
How did Bill Morrow get a job as a bellboy? That's right, the Eskimo didn't show up. Now, fellas, as I started to say, tomorrow night when we do our show, I want you all to be ready by 7 o'clock because immediately afterwards we have to take the train for Chicago. That is, you'll be in Chicago and I'll stay in Waukegan. Meanwhile, now who can that be? Hello?
Where's Wamajur, Sam? Same one, Rochester.
Rochester? Why, Rochester, where did you learn to speak French?
My Montreal mama done told me.
Oh. Well, what do you want, Rochester? What did you call me about?
Well, I'm down here in the tunnel, boss.
In the tunnel?
Yeah, a train just came in from Ottawa. Shall I lower the toll gate?
Wait a minute. Wait a minute, Rochester. That isn't my tunnel anymore. People can walk through without paying.
This is a fine time to tell me a Scotchman just knocked me cold with a bagpipe.
What?
That Loch Lomond really packs a wallop.
Well, it was all my fault. There's only one thing to do, and that's give the people back their money. Now, how many dimes did you collect?
Only three, boss.
Only three?
Two from a newly married couple who didn't want to stop to argue.
Yes?
And one from a bald-headed Eskimo.
Well, the Eskimo's here, and I'll take care of him. See you later, Rochester. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Oh, say, Rochester, I hope you sent my trunk to the right town. Last week, you sent it to Toledo instead of Toronto.
Don't worry, boss. It's all packed and on its way to Weehawken.
Weehawken?
Maybe it should be Skowhegan.
It's Waukegan. I told you to send the trunk to Waukegan, Illinois. Now, look, get in touch with Weehawken, and then get in touch with Skowhegan, and have him send the trunk to Waukegan.
You better put an Indian on that, boss. Sean, they come from Paz, those names.
You'll do it yourself. Now, Rochester, if that trunk isn't in Waukegan, I mean Skowhegan, I mean Waukegan, when I arrive, this will be your finish. Now, remember what I... towards the last number of the 20th program in the new Grape Nuts Flakes series. And we'll be with you again next Sunday night, broadcasting from servicemen in Chicago, Illinois. And I want to say that we have had a marvelous time here in Canada. I'd like to thank the Governor General, Prime Minister Mackenzie King, and all the people of Canada for their splendid hospitality. And also, I would like to wish success to the Canadian food industry's special war-saving stamp drive, which is now taking place. Good night, folks.
The Jack Benny program is written by Bill Meyer and Ed Beloy.
Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn. Listener-supported, non-commercial radio.
Hi, I'm Peter Sagal, and I'm the second funniest person in my family, next to my late uncle, Ted Skolnick, a delightful man a dozen times sharper and wittier than I've ever been. But not a lot of people ever got to know that about him, maybe because he spent most of his life hiding his ostomy bag due to his severe Crohn's disease. He kept that a secret, but when he died last year, he left a large bequest to the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation, supporting the search for better treatments and support for people like him. Don't feel you need to hide your Crohn's or colitis. Go to spillyourguts.org to learn more.
If you're looking to hear something new, join us Mondays from 8 to 9 p.m. for This Just In, WHFR's one-hour pre-recorded new music showcase. Every week, we'll feature a whole hour of music that we've recently received here at WHFR. You'll hear a wide variety of musical formats, including indie rock, electronic, world, jazz, blues, hip-hop, hard rock, soundtracks, and more. This Just In, our new music showcase, airs weekly on Mondays from 8 to 9 p.m. only on WHFR.fm, the station making waves.
This is the Danny Kaye Show with Eve Arden, Lionel Stander, Bob Jellison, Kitty Callan, Buddy DeVito, yours truly Ken Niles, and the outstanding music of America's top band, Harry James and his music makers. Yes, neighbors, for your entertainment, Pabst Blue Ribbon presents 33 fine talents blended into one great comedian, Danny Kaye.
Hello, airport. This is Danny Kaye again. Is the 7:30 plane going to take off on time? What? Oh, well, do you think there's a chance of it getting through? Well, how's the weather over the Rockies? Well, all right. If you're ready to take the chance, I will. Goodbye.
Danny, are you taking a plane trip again?
Oh, no. I just wanted to see if it was safe to send this letter airmail.
About an airmail letter. I'm surprised you didn't ask for a fighter escort.
Say, that's a... Oh, you. That's a pretty good idea. Hello, airport?
Get off that phone.
Evie, this isn't just an ordinary letter, you know. It's a Valentine.
Oh, a Valentine. Well, that is precious cargo. Who are you valentining to?
Oh, it's to my pal, Jack Benny.
Oh.
Well, he is my pal.
I believe you. You're sending it to New York, then?
Yes, by way of Rochester. Look, dear Jack Benny, thanks so many for being so sweet to me. Though I take beer and Skittles for my usual victuals, for you, L.S., I'll have tea.
Really very sweet.
Yes, and look what Jack sent me.
Oh, a heart-shaped box from Jack Benny.
Yeah, and look what's in it.
What in the world is that? A feather duster's mother-in-law?
Oh, no, honey, that's Jack's toupee.
Oh, that can't be his toupee. I've seen him many times, but I never saw him wearing anything like this.
Well, Evie, this is an old one. He wore this when he was a boy. Jack says it's his good luck piece.
Oh, it looks more like a museum piece.
You mean a heirloom?
Oh, no!
Gosh, I wonder how I'd look in one of these things.
Hello, Miss Arden.
Hello, Lionel. Where have you been?
Well, with St. Valentine's Day approaching, I've been busy composing a lyrical sonnet in monosyllabic pentameter.
Hey, what's the matter, Lionel? Don't you say hello to me?
Well, what a surprise. Hello, Mr. Benny.
Take off that toupee.
Hey, it's Danny. You know, that's the first time I ever saw a head of hair with a head on it.
Danny, will you stop wearing that second-hand hairdo?
Well, what else can I do with it?
Well, why don't you throw it in the back of a wagon, call up a bunch of people, and you can all go for a hayride.
Oh, Evie.
Say, Lionel, who are you sending your Valentine to?
Oh, a little girl whose picture I saw in the paper. My pin-up girl.
Oh, this has real suspense. Who can your pin-up girl be?
You'll see. I'll read it.
Yeah.
It ain't that you're so pretty that makes me pen this note. I love you, Gravel Gertie. Yours truly, Gravel Throat.
Gravel Throat? Ain't that romantic.
Say, Danny, what kind of a Valentine did you write?
Well, on Valentine's Day, it's usual for the heart to grow warm and tropical. So I made mine a calypso.
Calypso? What's that?
Well, listen and you'll hear. I send Valentine greetings near and far to nobody in particular. I address it with heart and soul that yearn to whom it may concern. RSVP.
Boy, that was great, Danny. It was really great.
Well, well, Ken Niles, am I glad to see you.
Well, hello, Danny. Hiya, gang. You know, I've just finished writing a Valentine to my favorite.
Your favorite girl?
No, my favorite beer.
Fibbing is the word on that. Oh, fibbing.
Well, that's all very nice, but if you'll excuse me, I think I'll go down and mail my Valentine.
You want me to ring for the elevator, Danny?
Nah, it's a beautiful day. I think I'll walk.
But it's 20 floors.
Well, then maybe I better take the elevator. See you later.
I'm a calypso singer. Oh, hello, Mr. K. You're going up or down?
I'm going down, Jellison.
Oh, thank goodness. I hate to go up.
You do?
Yes. Every time I go higher than the 20th floor, I black out.
You black out? Well, how long have you been operating this elevator?
I just soloed last week.
Well, you got your wings pretty quickly, didn't you?
Oh, no. I had over 200 hours as observer on the freight elevator.
Well, pilot,
let's take off.
Okay. Contact. Off we go into the wild blue yonder.
Say, you go for this life, don't you?
Oh, yes. I like to live dangerously.
Well, here we are. That was a nice, smooth trip.
Oh, thank you. Oh, there's my next mission. 15 more and I get my furlough.
Well, where to this time?
Non-stop to the mezzanine.
Well, happy landings.
Roger. Roger.
For a musical and vocal Valentine, Buddy DeVito joins Harry James and his music makers as they play Cole Porter's famous love song, Night and Day.
night and day. You are the one. Only you beneath the moon and under the sun. Whether near
sang that in a true Valentine spirit, which is Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Say, Danny, on account of Valentine's, how about us doing a real romantic play wherein I am the leading man and at least four beautiful women are swooning at my feet?
Ah, you only want four beautiful women, huh?
Well, one beautiful one is enough, but the other three should have money.
Well, I have a little Valentine play we can do, and you, Lionel, you can be the lover.
Ooh. Lionel, the lover? That'll set passion back 50 years.
There's a swell part in it for you, too, Evie.
There is?
Yeah. You know, every Valentine play has a young, beautiful, and charming girl in it.
Oh, is there a part like that in your play, Danny?
Sure. And you're going to be her mother.
I hate you. Well, if Lionel's going to be the lover, you're still doing me a favor.
Who's going to be Eve's beautiful daughter, Danny?
Well, you know that cute little thing in Harry James' orchestra?
You mean a piccolo?
No, Lionel, I mean Kitty Callan.
Oh, that's better yet.
And Harry James is going to be Kitty's father.
Wait a minute, Danny. What are you going to be?
I'm going to be Cupid. Dan Cupid.
A wee winsome little cherub who runs around shooting golden arrows and makes love bloom all over like a vepsicle. That's me.
That I've got to see.
Oh, you won't be able to see me, Evie. Nobody can see Cupid. You see, he's invisible. Harry, could we have a little romantic music to kind of set the scene, kind of?
And our romantic scene opens. A tiny white car with a big red heart painted on the hood is speeding down the street on a very important mission with Danny K. Cupid at the wheel.
Whee!
when your heart goes bumpity bump, 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 bump,
Hey, put over to the curb.
I don't want to.
You don't want to?
No.
Hey, who's driving this cab? I can hear somebody, but I can't see nobody.
Well, naturally you can't see me. I'm invisible.
You're what?
Invisible.
Oh, you mean invisible.
That's what I said. Invisible.
Come on, now, stop your starter.
Oh, this man talks funny, don't he? Stalling, he says. Who's stalling?
I have a good mind to run you in. Who are you, anyhow?
I'm Danny K. Cupid.
Cupid? Why, you little mugwump. Mugwump?
Oh, what's a... Who's a mugwump?
You are.
Oh, you know what? I think I'm gonna shoot a love arrow on you.
Something stung me.
Oh, boy, I stung him, I stung him, I stung him.
Why, you little...
Yes?
Kiss me. I'm a buttercup.
Whoopee! Ain't love marvelous? Well, I gotta go to 118 Maple Street and do some troubleshooting. So long, officer.
Goodbye, darling.
In the meantime, I'm going to tune in on my special Teflon Television snooping machine and see what's going on. Oh, gee, look at that.
Mom, we got to do something about our daughter, Kitty. She's a pretty girl, but she just don't know how to catch a man.
Worse than that, Pa, she don't know how to let a man catch her.
Say, you know, she didn't even get a single Valentine today.
Come to think of it, you old buzzard, you didn't get me anything either.
Oh, well, I think I'll go out to the front yard and see if I caught anything in my bear trap. Gee, what a beautiful night. And me all alone.
Hello there, Kitty Poo. Don't be so downhearted.
What? Who's that, a man?
No. Oh, no. I'm little Danny Cupid, and I'm invisible. And I'm glad you can't see me.
Why?
Because I ain't got no clothes on.
What?
Oh, don't worry. I got my bow and my arrows, and I'm gonna get you a fella.
Oh, I'll never have a fella. I'm 19 years old, and I'm not even engaged. I'll probably never get married.
Oh, no. Don't give up, my little smitten kitten. Remember, a man without a woman or a woman without a man was never part of paradise's plan. It's like a poached egg without a piece of toast. Philadelphia without the Saturday Evening Post. Georgie Nathan without a play to roast. And to make a man and woman rhyme, the wedding bells must chime. It's never too late to Mendelssohn. Ding dong, ding dong, dell. Two hearts are a journey, Mendelssohn. When the people hear the steeple bell, without the strain of low and grin, love is Misha or Yasha without a violin. It's never too late to Mendelssohn. Ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding
dong. Oh, you're so encouraging, Cupid. I've been waiting so long for a Prince Charming to come galloping to my side.
Oh, there you are. You see, that's just a little example of Cupid's super snooper duper, if I can't get you a man, nobody can, curb service.
Oh, how wonderful. A knight in shining armor.
Hi, beauteous one. I wish to whisper words into thy shell-like ear.
Yes? What do you wish to whisper?
You got a bucket of water for my horse.
Oh, my. This fella's tough. He's as tough as a hip up on top of the omnibus. I'm going to need a super sharp arrow to pierce his armor.
Hey, what's that? Hey, stop shooting them holes in my armor. Ah, you missed me. Ow!
Ha, ha, ha. That's my delayed action arrow.
What happened? All of a sudden, I feel romantic. Kiss me. Kiss me. Kiss me.
Hey, you better turn around. You're talking to the horse.
Ah, my knight. Raise your helmet so I can see your face.
Very well. Here I am.
Oh, no. I've been robbed.
Oh, I got to do something drastic to overcome that puss. This is truly a psychopological moment. Oh. They wrote some big word in here. A three-year-old child. I better use a double-dipped arrow.
Oh! Oh, you beautiful, beautiful knight.
I sure fixed her 20/20 vision. Now, come on, you two. Start necking.
Who's doing that talking? Your kid brother?
No, that's Cupid, Dan. You're K. Cupid.
Where?
Oh, you can't see me, Mr. Man. I'm invisible. Go ahead, Chuck. Kiss her.
No, I won't kiss her while you're here. Run along now and leave us two alone.
I don't want
to. Oh, come on.
I don't want
to. You've done your job. Run along.
I want to watch.
Oh, please, Cupid, be a good kid and run along.
Uh-uh. Oh, wait a minute. Here comes the message on my walkety-talkity.
Calling Dan Cupid. Calling Dan Cupid. Go to 230 Park Avenue. An arrow is needed. That is all. Valentine.
Cupid to headquarters. Cupid to headquarters. What did you say that address was?
230 Park Avenue. Get going.
I don't want to.
Why not?
That's Tommy Manville's address. He don't need no arrow.
Well, Danny, how'd I do in the play? Was I convincing as the lover?
Well, you convinced me. You convinced me that Van Johnson has nothing to worry about.
Oh, didn't I act all right?
Well, that's just the trouble, Lionel. You see, you were acting. You weren't living the part. Now, according to Stanislavski...
Stanislavski? What is that Stanislavski? Van Johnson spelled backwards?
No, Lionel. Stanislavski was the famous Russian director who founded the Moscow Art Theater.
Never heard of him.
Well, Lionel, his teachings are being followed throughout the world. Let me give you a picture of one of his disciples. Who is the world's greatest actor? And how did I get that way? Who made me a genius, the greatest projector who ever wore a toupee? Who made me most miserable Hamlet, the deadest Romeo who died for his bride? Who made me most awful Dr. Jekyll, and then made me Hyde? Stanislavski, Stanislavski of the Moskva, theater Stanislavski, a director from the heart. I will never forget the day I first met the great master. He took me by the hand and beat my head against the wall. And in one word, he told me the secret of the great Stanislavski method. Suffer! That's all. Suffer! You must live before you give. Suffer. You must ache before you make. Suffer. You must think before you stink. Suffer. Suffer. Suffer, 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 suffer.
Hello.
Suffer. And the audience suffers with you. Stanislavski. I will never forget the day. They give me first part to play. I'm supposed to play part of sailor. But first I must suffer. What I'm going to do? I join Navy, become sailor. First day out, B
big story. At first, I was afraid I was going to die. Then I was afraid I wasn't going to die.
But I suffered. I came back to Moscow, and in this part, I was wow. Here is what the great critic, Georgine Yasha Sasha Vladimir Nathan, said. Господин Горяченко, а зачем это наших благ?
Ты плешь красиво большой, а люди там тоже. Здравствуй, чинь, я здесь из нас, в этим месте, из нас, не дроснить и бьястить, блядь.
Just like in America, 3.5 stars. So if you want career on stage, you mustn't dream of merely acting. Use the Stanislavski method of mental chiropractic. Be a tree, be a sled, be a purple spool of thread, be a storm, a piece of lace, a subway train, an empty space. Take it fast, take it slow. Hello, Mo, hello, Joe. I just got back from a wonderful show. Stanislavski, Stanis. I will never forget the day. Luella Harper said I stink.
I was playing part of stable boy.
It was in great Chekhov tragedy. It was beautiful.
Everybody died.
I also played part in great Chekhov comedy.
Everybody died.
But they died happy. This makes it funny. But I will never forget the day of my greatest triumph. I was playing part of antique mahogany bureau. So convincing in the third act, my drawers fell out. And who is the man who loosened my screws? Who pulled me all apart? Stanislavski. Stanislavski on the Moski.
Boy, that Stanislavski method is really something.
Before we pack our little duffel bags and hire us hence, I'd like to do a little pitching for a very vital cause. You know, many times when I've entertained our soldiers in camp shows and had the privilege of talking with them personally, I've been really impressed by the way they admire and respect the men of the Merchant Marine. Now, our soldiers know that without these men, the weapons for victory could never be delivered to the fighting fronts. And right now, more and more merchant seamen, mates, engineering officers, and seamen with AB ratings are needed to do and carry on this big and important job. So, if you were one of the 200,000 experienced AB seamen now working in shore jobs, send a collect telegram today to Merchant Marine, Washington, D.C., giving your qualifications and stating the job you want to fill. Remember, nothing takes the place of experience at sea. No green hand can fill the job waiting for you. So send that telegram tonight, now, and back up our men by going back to sea.
Well, I know that every qualified man listening will answer that call, Danny.
I hope so. And by the way, to all you listening friends of mine, I send a happy Valentine. May all your days be glad and bright and very merry. Good night.
Directed by Dick Mack and was brought to you by the Pabst Brewing Company of Milwaukee, Wisconsin and Peoria, Illinois. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
And you're listening to Radio Vault, our Valentine edition. We have got Lucio Ball coming up next.
Light from the Underground is a radio show filled with musical surprises. You'll get a chance to hear new music, often artists you aren't familiar with, and we might even mix in some classics that you haven't thought of in years. I'm Bill Keith, and I enjoy digging through all the music we've received to spotlight the best music I can find. I focus on singer-songwriters across a wide variety of genres. Add in some blues or Americana, maybe a bit of gospel music, and some indie rock to mix things up, and you have Light from the Underground. Thanks to Henry Ford College for making WUHFR possible. Their investment allows us to create radio that's focused on Dearborn and the greater Detroit area. And thank you for being a loyal listener. Check out Light from the Underground Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. on 89.3 WUHFR.FM. We're making waves.
Founded in 2016 and sponsored by the Detroit Regional Chamber of Commerce, the Detroit Promise ensures that any student graduating from any high school in the city of Detroit will have a tuition-free path to an associate degree or technical certificate. Henry Ford College has been a proud participant in the Detroit Promise since the beginning. With 66% of all Detroit Promise students attending HFC, it is the largest Detroit Promise enrollment of any college. For more information, visit hfcc.edu/Detroit-Promise or DetroitPromise.com today.
It's the new Gay Family series starring Lucille Ball with Richard Denning as Liz and George Cooper. Two people who live together and like it. And now let's look in on the Coopers. It's 3 days before Valentine's Day. Well, she's been hinting about it all morning, but George doesn't seem to notice. And now at breakfast, Liz is making one last try by arranging her toast crusts in the form of a heart.
George. Hey, George. George, look at my plate.
Hmm? Oh, yeah, you should eat those crusts, Liz. They're good for your teeth.
That's my romantic husband. George, didn't you notice what shape they're in?
A triangle.
No.
A pumpkin?
No. George, when two people are in love and are going to get married, what does it affect the most?
Oh, don't tell me that's a pocketbook.
No, it's a heart. Doesn't that remind you of anything?
Oh, yes, I've got to take my liver pills.
Oh, why don't you go read your paper? I was trying to remind you that Valentine's Day is coming up.
Oh, that's it? Well, you didn't have to remind me.
I didn't?
No, every ad in the paper is full of it. What a racket.
It is not a racket. It's a wonderful romantic holiday, and I like it.
You know how it started?
Well, St. Valentine was a... He... No, I don't. Do you?
Well, it so happens I do. It seems that years ago there were two kindly old gentlemen who thought love was so wonderful that they set aside a day to honor all sweethearts and lovers. And they called it St. Valentine's Day.
Oh, isn't that sweet? Who were they?
A candy maker and a florist.
Well, George, I suppose you think a department store owner invented Mother so they could have Mother's Day.
You know, you may be right.
Well, St. Valentine's Day doesn't mean just candy and flowers. It's the spirit of loving that counts. If you really love someone enough, they'll know it without any presents.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Liz, I love you.
You mean no presents?
No, I love you too much.
But, George, what's Valentine's Day without candy and flowers?
I thought so.
You know, the real reason I like Valentine's Day?
Yeah.
Because it's such a good excuse to be all mushy and gushy about you.
Yeah? Well, what's your excuse for the other 364 days? You're mushy all the time.
Yeah, but on Valentine's Day, I can be mushy and loud. I love you, George!
Liv, keep quiet.
I love you, George!
Liv, stop. What about Katie?
Katie loves you too, George!
Oh, the lady next door.
What about the lady next door?
Well, she might hear you. Now, simmer down.
All right, I'll be quiet.
I love you, George.
That's better.
You love me, George?
Yes, I do.
I'm glad to hear that, George. Anybody want more coffee? No thanks, Kitty.
No thanks.
What are we whispering for?
Well, it was just a joke, Kitty. We're kidding about Valentine's Day.
Kidding? Oh, you should never joke about Valentine's Day. Oh, it's a beautiful occasion.
Why, Katie, I think you've got a boyfriend.
Well, I have been working on a Valentine poem, and I'm going to give it to...
To whom?
I'm going to give it to...
Is that his first or last name?
Oh, Mrs. Cooper, it's for Mr. Dabney, the butcher.
Oh, old heavy thumb.
Is the butcher your boyfriend, Katie?
Well, sort of.
That explains why we've been able to cut the steaks lately.
Well, he isn't exactly my boyfriend, but I've always sort of liked him.
Well, you could do worse than Mr. Dabney. He's quite attractive and a very good butcher.
Well, some people may have better beef, but his liver is good. And no one has ox tail and pig's feet like his.
Say, what's it cost to see him?
I do have a problem, though, Mrs. Cooper. I haven't got the nerve to give Mr. Dabney the valentine I wrote to him. Would you go shopping with me today and... give it to him for me.
Why, sure, Katie. Anything to help out romance.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Cooper. I'll go finish it.
Liz, are you going to start playing Cupid again? Now, you know what happened.
Well, George, what harm can come from handing him a valentine for Katie? I'll not only help their romance along, but he'll give us better meat. This isn't just an affair of the heart. There are a couple of stomachs mixed up in this, too. Well, give me the valentine. I'll hand it to him.
Here.
What have you got on this, Katie?
Well, I wanted to scent it with an odor he'd like.
But it's all soggy. What'd you do, soak it in perfume?
No, bacon grease.
Well, that's romantic. Well, give it to me.
I'll be watching from the grocery department.
All right. Good morning, Mr. Dabney.
Hi, Miss Cooper.
How are things in the meat market?
Hi, Miss Cooper. What can I do for you today?
Well, I didn't come to buy anything today, Mr. Dabney. I'm here on sort of a personal matter. I happen to know that one of your customers thinks you're rather nice.
No.
Yes. She's been too bashful to tell you, but since this is almost Valentine's Day, she wants you to know she likes you a lot.
You know something, Miss Cooper?
What?
I like you a lot, too.
Now, wait a minute. I'm not the one.
Still bashful. you little minx.
Just a second, Mr. Dabney. I happen to be speaking for someone else.
What's that you're hiding behind your back?
Oh, how did I get mixed up in this? Here, this will straighten things out. It's a valentine.
Oh, Miss Cooper, I feel like such a heel. I don't have one for you.
Now, stop this nonsense.
No, wait a minute. I'll cut you a heart-shaped piece of salami.
Oh, no. Look, just read this valentine and you'll see what I'm trying to tell you.
All right. Liz... Oh, gee, it looks beautiful. And how did you know? My favorite aroma, Swift's Premium.
Read the valentine.
All right. If you'll be mine, then I'll be thine. You set my heart a quiver. Say you'll be my valentine and send 2 pounds of liver.
Practical thought.
Oh, Miss Cooper, this is touching. Did you write this all by your little self?
For the last time, no. Look at the signature.
Well, it's signed, you bashful redhead.
Oh, no! Katie! Oh, she's gone.
Oh, don't try to pretend.
No.
Oh, come here, you bashful redhead.
Now, you listen to me. Katie has red hair, too. We're both redheads. She's the one for you.
Listen, two houses may have red roofs, but you don't pick the one with the sagging foundation.
Well, it's too bad your fish isn't as fresh as you are.
Oh, don't try to fight this thing, my little tenderloin. It's bigger than both of us.
Now, stop this, Mr. Dabney. What about Katie?
She's bigger than both of us, too. Oh, Miss Cooper, I've admired you for years. Each little lamb chop you bought, I personally put the pants on. I feel as though part of me belongs to you.
So do I.
You feel as though part of me belongs to you?
Yes, your thumb. I've paid for it often enough. Goodbye. Oh, it was simply awful, Katie. He came right out of his store and followed me down the block. We'll just have to stop trading there. I could never face that Mr. Dabney again.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mrs. Cooper. I shouldn't have gotten panicky and run away.
Well, I'm sorry it ruined your romance.
Oh, I'll get over it in time. I have a date with the milkman tonight.
Well, that's good. Now that we're going to get tough meat again, it'll be nice to have fresh eggs.
I left his Valentine in an empty milk bottle.
Well, that's romantic. What did you say?
I said, I love you, dear. Don't be surprised. Leave 2 quarts of homogenized.
Uh-huh. Well, listen, Edgar Guest, do me a favor, will you? I've made out a check for Mr. Dabney, and I wish you'd go out and mail it. The sooner I sever connections with that wolf, the better.
Yes, ma'am, I will.
Here, mail this one, too. This is a Valentine.
Why, Mrs. Cooper, who are you sending a Valentine to?
To George, of course. I thought it would sort of be fun for him to get it at the bank. It's a copy of the first Valentine I ever sent to him when I was only 16 years old. Here you are, Katie. Better hurry. They pick up the mail soon.
All right. I'll get my coat and go right away.
Better wear your gloves. That Valentine's pretty hot.
Hi, Liz.
George, what are you doing home in the middle of the afternoon?
Well,
you've been fired.
No, I
you
just...
You quit. Oh, no.
You're sick. No, I feel fine.
The bank burned down?
No.
Isn't that just like a man comes home early and won't give you a word of explanation?
Well, give me a chance. Let me get in the house. You talk so much, the breeze keeps blowing me back out the door.
All right, come on in.
I'm going to Chicago for a couple of days on business, and I have to pack and catch the 4 o'clock train.
Oh, good. I'll go with you.
No, sorry, honey. Mr. Atterbury has a new rule. No wives along on business trips.
Well, he took his wife along on his last trip.
That's when he made the rule.
Well, I'll go pack for you. Oh, wait a minute, George. You'll be back by Monday, won't you?
No.
Oh, dear. I'll see you in a minute, George.
Hey, where are you going?
Down to the mailbox. I have to see a man about a letter.
What's the matter, Mrs. Cooper?
Did you mail those letters yet?
Yes.
Oh, darn it. Has the mailman collected them?
No, I don't. Oh, there. He's just opening the mailbox now.
You go home, Katie. I'll be back in a few minutes.
All right, Mrs. Cooper.
Hello.
Eh? Oh, hello.
How are you today?
Lot you care. Never seen you before in my life. If you really want to know, I feel rotten. My rheumatism's acting up.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, sure.
Are you, picking up the mail?
No. I'm a Confederate soldier, and these are messages for General Lee.
You don't have to get nasty about it.
What do you got on your mind, young lady?
It's very simple. There's a letter in that box I want.
Oh, tampering with the mails, eh?
No, I wrote it myself. There's my letter, that blue one on the top of the pot.
Take your hands off that letter.
But it's mine. See, it's addressed to my husband, and there's my name in the corner, Liz Cooper, see?
Prove it.
Well, look at the initials on my purse, L.C.
You gotta have better proof than initials on a purse.
Oh, well, here. Here's a snapshot.
What about it?
Well, see, it's me.
Let me see. By golly, it is you. Well, that's proof of... Now, wait a minute. You can't trick me like that.
Look, the flap isn't on very tight. Look inside. I'll tell you what's in it.
Well, I'll just peek in here.
See, it's a valentine I sent to my husband.
It's a valentine,
yes, uh-huh.
Don't look like... just as I thought. Trying to rob the United States mail. Young lady, you can go to the penitentiary for this.
What?
There's no valentine in this envelope at all.
There isn't?
No, it's a check made out to Mr. Dabney, the butcher.
Oh, good heavens. That means Mr. Dabney's getting the valentine I sent to George. Oh, quick, look for another letter made out to Dabney.
Oh, no. These letters are going on their way. Legal.
Liz mailed a valentine to George, but she got it in the wrong envelope. And it's going to Mr. Dabney, the butcher, who already mistakenly thinks that Liz is in love with him. Well, it's early the next morning, and Liz is at Mr. Dabney's waiting to intercept the letter when it comes. In order to make it look like strictly business, Liz has been making purchases every few minutes.
Mr. Dabney, I think I better have two more pork chops, please.
Miss Cooper... You already bought a roast, 2 pounds of bacon, 3 steaks, 4 lamb chops, 5 veal cutlets, and some liverwurst. I got an idea.
What's that?
You now have more meat than I do. Why don't you start selling it back to me?
Never mind the attempt at humor, Mr. Dabney. By the way, when does your mailman get here?
Look, Miss Cooper. Red. You're not fooling anybody pretending to buy meat, making small talk about the mailman all because you want to be near me. Come on, admit it.
Mr. Dabney, I don't like you. I don't like your looks and I don't like your manner. And I think you're completely revolting.
That's right. Make love to me.
Oh, thank goodness. Here comes the mailman.
Now, good morning, Mr. Dabney. Here's a letter for you.
I'll take that.
Oh, it's you again. Young lady, you must curb this impulse to grab every blue envelope, you see.
That letter's for me.
But it's mine. I wrote it. It's got my name on it. There's a valentine inside.
That's the same story she told me yesterday.
Miss Cooper, you sent me another valentine.
I have not. It's all a mistake.
That's the same story she told me yesterday.
I don't think she's got all her buttons. Mr. Dabney, here's your letter.
Over my dead body.
Hey, give me that letter. Come back here. Oh, my God. Help, police. He just held up the United States.
Don't fret, Mrs. Cooper. Everything's going to be all right.
But, Katie, how will I ever be able to tell George I was arrested for robbing the United States mail and that he has to appear in court with me tomorrow?
That won't be easy.
Well, anyway, this is one time I'll have an answer when George says, what's new?
Here he comes now. Good luck.
Hi, Liz.
Hi, dear.
Well, what's new?
I'm glad you asked that. I'm being sent to Alcatraz.
Alcatraz? Liz, you joined a pyramid club.
No, let me explain, George. You see, I sent the butcher a valentine by mistake, and since it was already mailed, he wouldn't give it back to me.
The butcher?
No, the mailman. I waited at the butcher shop until he got there, and when I grabbed the valentine, he called the police.
The mailman?
No, the butcher. And I tried to explain how it was all a mistake, but he wouldn't listen.
The mailman or the butcher?
The policeman. Then we all had to go to police court, and he said it was a federal offense and I ought to be ashamed.
The mailman, the butcher, or the policeman?
The judge. Now, do you understand, George?
Perfectly. The butcher sent the mailman a mushy valentine, and the judge will send you to prison if I don't marry the policeman. What's going on here?
Keep calm, George. Look, they'll drop the charges if you and I will appear in domestic relations court tomorrow.
Domestic relations?
I'm a victim of circumstantial evidence, George. The judge wants to make up his mind.
About what?
Whether I should stay with you or marry Mr. Dabney.
Oh, no!
All right, the domestic relations court will come to order. Now, Mr. Cooper, if you and Mrs. Cooper will sit on this side of the table.
All right, Judge Skinner, but I tell you there
please.
Is no...
And you, Mr. Dabney, over here.
Okay, Judge. Hiya, Red.
Oh, drop dead.
What does he mean, Red?
Oh,
please, Mr. Cooper, we must control our feelings. Now, I have studied all the facts in this case kindly supplied to me by Mr. Dabney.
Oh, great.
And before we start, I want you all to realize that there is no problem too big to solve. Into every life, a little rain must fall. Every cloud must have a silver lining, and it is always darkest before the dawn.
Well, now that we've had the weather report, let's get on with the case.
Please. Mrs. Cooper, I want to start this hearing with an open mind, bearing no prejudice towards either party.
Uh-huh.
Now, when did you first realize you were in love with Mr. Dabney?
Wait a minute. I'm not in love with Mr. Dabney.
Ha! She finds me irresistible. She wrote me 2 valentines. She hung around the store all morning.
That wasn't because I was in love with you. I was waiting for the mailman.
Please. One grimy amour at a time.
Oh, look, Judge. This is all a mix-up. I know how the whole thing happened.
Please, Mr. Cooper, no tears. Don't talk if it hurts. Let me review it for you. I'll recreate the scene. You, Mrs. Cooper, the bored, indifferent housewife, tired of your drab, humdrum life, just waiting for an opportunity to break away from it all. And then one day your husband announces he must leave town, and you realize this is your chance, your opportunity to escape from this colorless, unimaginative man.
Now, just a minute.
Don't stop him, George. I want to see how this comes out.
Oh, this is a lot of nonsense. There's no basis for the whole business.
Are you forgetting this Valentine your wife wrote to her lover?
No, she wrote that to me.
Oh, Mr. Cooper, you're a hard loser. Mrs. Cooper, I suggest you read the Valentine.
All right. Dear sweetheart.
That's me.
Please. The way this woman operates, it could be me. Continue, Mrs. Cooper.
Thank you. Dear sweetheart, I'm under your spell. I love you more than tongue can tell.
A hot tongue, 59 cents a pound.
A good point, Mr. Dabney. Continue, Mrs. Cooper.
Thank you. My lover, I have this to say. I care for you in the very worst way.
That ought to prove it. Love or worst.
Just coincidence. She wrote this to her husband, not to her butcher.
I must say, she writes a Valentine with a lot of meat in it. Continue.
My love for you is not a phony. This Valentine is no baloney.
That proves it.
It certainly does.
Well, George, it's been nice knowing you. If you ever need any meat, come and see us.
Just a minute. You're not going to get away with this. I love Liz. I've been married to her for 10 years. And no judge or butcher or anyone else in the world is going to take her away from me without a fight.
Why, George!
You understand?
I'll now hand down my decision. I award the custody of Mrs. Cooper to Mr. Cooper.
Hooray! You've got my custody!
Hey, what's a big idea, Judge?
Well, Mr. Dabney, I think Mrs. Cooper is in love with you.
But we must think of Mr. Cooper. When I give a man a chance to get rid of his wife after 10 years of marriage and he doesn't take it, he's in bad shape. He needs someone to look after him. Case dismissed.
Liz, I hope this will be a lesson to you. Now, see what can happen when you start messing around in other people's affairs.
Yes, George.
Now, this might really have been nasty and gotten spread all over the papers.
Oh, wouldn't that have been terrible?
Quiet, please. I must have quiet.
You have been listening to your daily radio session in kindly Judge Skinner's Domestic Relations Court. With us today...
Oh, no, George. This whole thing's been on the air.
I guess that one ended quickly. Well, that's going to pretty much wrap it for today's Radio Vault. We're going to make way in just a moment for Mountain Stage. Mysteries once more again, or many times more actually, starting at 9 o'clock on Sunday night, and then more of our Tuesday show, Radio Vault, from 10 in the morning till 1 o'clock. I guess today we heard a few shows with Gail Gordon as the supporting actor. He was Mr. Coughlin in Our Miss Brooks. And, of course, he worked with Lucille Ball in My Favorite Husband, which we just heard, by the way, from February 11 of 49. So that's going to wrap it for today's Radio Vault. We'll see you next time, as I said. We have Mountain Stage coming up in just a moment.
The many sounds, the many faces of jazz and improvised music can be heard on the Spirits Rejoice radio program every Tuesday from 6 to 10 p.m. right here, WHFR.FM, WHFR Dearborn.
The
black male and queens focus group is a social network that challenges the perspectives related to the academics of black students. It is a niche where those who choose to participate can express themselves and can be helpful to one's academic success. The group is open to all HFC students. You can join their meetings in person in Building 9, or you can join their meetings online via Zoom. For more information, go to hfcc.edu/bmqfg. Visit the website hfcc.edu/bmqfg.
Listener supported, non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn. Featuring local and independent artists.
Welcome to an encore edition of Mountain Stage.
There's a spring in the mountain, and it flows down to the town.
From NPR Music and West Virginia Public Broadcasting, with support provided by Bailey Glasser, welcome to another Mountain Stage with your host, Kathy Matea.
There's a song in my heart, just a simple little tune, but the rhythm and the melody won't leave me alone. Around the world, it's just a simple song. This world is turning round, a simple song.
Thank you. Oh, it's good to see you. Thank you. Hello and welcome once again to Mountain Stage, live performance radio from the mountain state of West Virginia. I'm Kathy Matea, and we are at our home, the Culture Center Theater in Charleston, West Virginia, with another exciting show with all kinds of distinct